It's time for Benedictine Raven football, heard on your local sports authority, KAIR, Radio 93.7 FM, and streaming on msc.news.net. Benedictine Raven football games are brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management. Contact Hamada Wealth Management at 928-443-7536. Stay tuned. The Amberwell Health pregame will begin with the Bank of Atchison Coaches Show featuring head coach Joel Osborne right after these messages.
It's back to school and also to the seasonal routines filled with school time errands and activities. Hi, this is Dr. Brian Casey of Union State Bank of Atchison and also a part-time college educator. As we get busier, Union State Bank makes keeping up with banking convenient and easy. With mobile banking, you can bank wherever you are, and you can pay bills and make transfers online and much more. With text alerts and our new budget bubbles, you'll stay right on track with Union State Bank no matter how busy life gets. NMLS number 654946, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Getting ready for this afternoon's Raven game, and Coach Joel Osborne joins us. Coach, Peru State was a team that was really good, and they played really well last week at home.
Yeah, they did. They came out and played probably the best game they've played in a while. And on the flip side, we didn't do very much to help ourselves. And, you know, in college football, there's that fine line between being very good and not very good. So, you know, we just got to do a better job of coming out and playing fast and physical and doing our job and executing.
And, Coach, I know how coaches like to take some good things out and build on those and pick out the things that they need to work on. Were there good things? What were the good things that you were able to pull out of that game from last Saturday?
Well, I think the first thing would be the kickoff return team, you know, setting the stage, the first return. We got them after that. Trey Adger did a great job hitting it. Everybody did a great job blocking, and we got a return for a touchdown. The other thing, too, is we were able to, in the second half, drive the ball and get a lot of yards. Now, the bad thing was we were 1-for-4 on scoring in the red zone, and that's really the difference in the game right there, plus the turnovers the turnover before half that set up their score. You know, it's a completely different game. It's one of those ifs, you know, you keep saying if this happened, if that happened. So, but it's college football. You can't say that. The results speak for themselves.
Garrett did as good a job as he could. It seemed like the defense was after him, and he was running a lot.
Yeah, they were they're running a front that allowed them to get one-on-one matchups with our offensive line, and they had a guy that was a disruptor, honestly a guy that hadn't played yet, and it was number 99. He was their punter as well that threw the pass on the fake punt. He's a tremendous player, and he disrupted us quite a bit. So what we've got to do is learn from that. We've got to do a better job protecting Garrett, give him time. I thought Garrett did a nice job of making some throws under pressure to some of our receivers. And, you know, we just got to look to bounce back and have a great week this week against Clark.
Coach, looking through the two deeps a little bit, some turnover in personnel, linebacker position. You've got some new guys, you know, coming in as you continue to revamp and continue to groom this.
Yeah, well, we've had a couple guys get hurt. We've had some sickness. So anytime you have those things happen, you got to look at putting new guys in position. So, you know, we've got Jalen James, Brian Barrera playing linebacker. You know, this week we'll have a young kid playing outside backer. We called our Falcon position be Javai Bloomquist, be a true freshman starting at outside linebacker. So we're really excited about him versus Baker. He blocked two punts in our JV game Monday, and he was phenomenal, and he's got great cover skills, and he can tackle well in space. So, you know, we're looking at, you know, putting our best guys on the field, and we're still trying to find who those best 11 are.
Well, I'll tell you, one of them is Gavin, because he continues to play so well. I'm just so impressed with him.
Yeah, he's done a nice job stepping up, you know, taking that boundary outside linebacker position that Shepherdson played for a number of years, and Gavin really wasn't expected to play that position at the beginning of the season, but Evan Aguilar's had a foot injury and been out for about 6 weeks now, so Gavin's done a nice job stepping up for us.
This week, you got Clark coming in and Coach Rigaldo up there. He's, you know, a Baker guy. He's been up there for like 4 years right now, but they've had a lot of turnover in their personnel also as they try to put together a young program.
Yeah, so they're starting the program from scratch about 4 years ago, like you said, and I've got a lot of respect for Coach. He's done a really nice job. He's a very good football coach. Had a lot of success when he's at Baker. So, you know, he's got his kids playing hard. You know, they've been in every game. And so it's not like they've been getting blown out. And we've got to come out and play well to beat these guys.
new quarterback for after week one, Mueller starting for them. You know, now they've got another guy starting, and he's had a good game. Are they looking for a new guy, or Bridges' quarterback get banged up?
Well, to me, it really doesn't matter. I mean, they're probably in the same boat in other positions that we are. You know, we found out last week at Peru where they played a quarterback for the first game that he had played, and he played really well against us. So it really doesn't matter who's in. We've got to do a great job of reading our keys and making sure that everybody's on the same page. I think it starts and stops in the run game, and then we've got to do a better job of competing on the one-on-one balls and getting the ball to the ground as opposed to letting them get those tough catches. So,
and for Clark, it looks like they're a team that likes to run the ball. It seems like predominantly, you know, they're a team kind of ground-oriented, and they want to get that running game established.
Well, that's where you talk about him being his Baker roots, is they want to run the football and then set up everything off of that. So, like I said, we have to stop the running game, and you know, it starts inside and eliminating inside gap runs, and then from there, everybody else rallying to the ball.
This afternoon is also a Stars and Stripes game. On a personal level, do you have any family or any history, you know, in military service?
Oh, yeah, we do. You know, my grandpa served in the military. My cousin right now is serving in the military. And, you know, we really appreciate everything that the troops have done for us and our veterans. You know, we live in the best country in the world, country where you're free to choose what you want to do, who you want to be, what you want to become, and where you want to live. I mean, there's so many great things about our country. And I told our players, you know, I tell our players that I believe that we have the top 1% in the country on our team. And, you know, those guys that are committed to something bigger than themselves. And, you know, you look at what we've done in the off season. I realize that, you know, currently we're 1-2, but our kids have really, they've really worked hard to be in the position they're in. And it's just a matter of getting a different outcome than we've gotten. And we're looking at fixing that right now. So I'm excited for our kids to come out and play today. It's going to be a good environment, and we're going to play hard. I know that.
Beautiful week of weather. How was prep for this week? Are you satisfied?
It was a good week of practice. I mean, there, as always, there could be some better things that have happened, but, you know, our kids' attitudes were really good. Kids competed. I thought Tuesday's practice was really physical, and so was Wednesday's as well. So, yeah, we're excited to get going, get back on the field, get that taste out of our mouth.
Coach, we're looking forward to it as well. Best of luck here this afternoon.
All right, I appreciate it, Tom.
Amberwell Health grew right here in Northeast Kansas when Atchison Hospital rebranded with a vision to connect their communities and their care. That vision continues with Hiawatha Community Hospital joining the Amberwell family as Amberwell Hiawatha. Amberwell Health now includes two complete care locations, Amberwell Atchison and Amberwell Hiawatha, and five clinic locations in Atchison, Horton, Highland, Leavenworth, and Troy. Together, Amberwell continues to serve their communities and their patients, combining knowledge, resources, and a dedication to provide clinical excellence and compassionate care.
The Amberwell Health pregame show continues with the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill. Keys to the game right after this.
The Fall Blizzard menu is here at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill. The fall menu includes sea salt toffee fudge, Reese's Pieces cookie dough, Oreo mocha fudge, Choco dipped brownie, and the Royal Ultimate Choco brownie. And the featured September Blizzard of the Month is both the Pumpkin Pie Blizzard and the Pecan Pie Blizzard. It's all at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill.
As we get set for college football this afternoon from Wilcox Stadium, it's now time for your Dairy Queen Grill and Chill Keys to the Game. And for me, it's quite simple. For the Ravens offense today, you got to come out and take advantage of every possession. Throughout the first couple weeks of the season, the Ravens haven't quite got the offense to click on all cylinders. And it seems like they're almost taking some of these offensive possessions for granted. Today, you got to come out, put those offensive possessions at a premium, and score on every drive. And if you do that, you're going to come away with a big win over Clark today. So again, your Dairy Queen Grill and Chill key to the game, score early and often. Kickoff coming up next.
Thanks for listening to the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill Keys to the Game and the Amberwell Health Pregame Show. We will go live to Tom and Gus Counts at the stadium for play-by-play coverage and in-game analysis of Benedictine football in just a few moments.
The biggest stars of country music play here. Hot Country 93.7 KAIR, Horton, Atchison.
Are you confused about the stock market? Feel like you are taking too much risk? Do you just feel lost at times on what to do? If you are looking for investment guidance in these uncertain times, Hamada Wealth Management is here to assist you. They believe it is important to not just make money, but preserve it. To schedule your no-cost income and retirement planning review, call Brandy at 928-443-7536 or search online at Hamada Wealth Management.
Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC. Hamada Wealth Management Group and IFG are unaffiliated entities.
It's time for Benedictine Raven football. Four quarters of hard-hitting, action-packed, high-flying intensity. Our coverage of Raven football is brought to you by our proud Raven sports boosters.
Welcome back to Wilcox Stadium, where this afternoon, Benedictine College football as the Ravens return home. They're going to be hosting the Clark University Pride. Hello again, everybody, with Joseph, our producer engineer in the studio. Gus Counts with me here in the booth, Tom Counts. And beautiful sunny day here in Atchison, Kansas. A little bit warm, but for Benedictine, a great crowd on hand as BC looks to maybe bounce back a little bit after a difficult road loss last week up at Peru State. Clark is going to be putting a total for the return team coming out on the field before the ball game here this evening or this afternoon. We're about ready to get underway here on KAIR-FM Horton Atchison. Benedictine going to be kicking away here today. I got some duct tape. We can fix this. Ravens getting set to put a toe to it. For Benedictine, kicking away is going to be Cullen Bruner, 6 foot freshman out of Marceline, Missouri. Hey, that's good. I like it. Clark is going to have a duo of return men back in Max Steffen and Kenneth Spate. They're going to settle in around their own 10-yard line. We're about ready to get underway here today with Stars and Stripes Day here on Care Radio. Ravens are going to advance on the football, and there's the kick. It is going to be high and end over end, just a little breeze behind it. It'll be taken by Spate at the 3-yard line. He'll come up the near side to elude the first, the second, the third tackler, cuts into the middle, and then it's going to be mowed down at the 25-yard line. Nice kick coverage downfield for Benedictine by Javiah Bloomquist. Guess we heard Coach talk about him in the pregame, and it didn't take him long to participate today.
Yeah, Bloomquist is a freshman that Coach talked about and said that, you know, we could see a lot of him today, the 5'9" freshman out of San Diego, California, getting down there in the kick coverage unit.
First and 10 for the Pride. They come into the ball game today at 0-3 under head coach Miguel Regalado. Here's a quick pass over into the left flat. It's going to be caught. A little block by the wide receiver. Gets the ball across the 30-yard line and up to the 32. Nice gain of about 7. Bloomquist, Morris, the duo on the stop for Benedictine and Clark. Quickly up over the football, goes with no huddle in the onset of the game. Receivers, 2 to the right. Running back is not a big guy, but the quarterback is Kenyon Williams. He's 6'1". Flares it out to the running back out of the backfield. He's going to pick up a first down, get up to the 36-yard line. First and 10, another tackle by Bloomquist for Benedictine. That was Garrett Egan in the backfield. Garrett is listed at 5'6", and, well, guys, you know how accurate those programs are, right? Probably not quite that. Egan's going to get the handoff again. He'll dart into the middle, hit behind the line of scrimmage, and brought down, and that is Jalen James. Guys, 5'6" is all we're calling today.
Yeah, it's been a lot of 5'6", and right now it's that middle outside linebacker for Benedictine. You talk about Javi Bloomquist, a freshman for BC, listed in the program as a sophomore, but at that 5'9", 180, they've kind of got him walked up from that safety position to more of an outside linebacker, and he's matching up with that slot guy.
Loss of 1, 2nd and 11, finds a quarterback rolling out, hitting his man, coming out of the backfield, crossing a 40, and up near the 45-yard line, staying in bounds, pushing and shoving and bouncing for additional yardage. And that is a nice catch and play up the field for Jorge Alvarado, a 6'1 wide receiver for the Pride, Bloomquist, and Hoskins for Benedict. Not Hoskins, a couple of freshmen with Bloomquist. Hoskins out of Blue Valley West High School. a 6'1 freshman. Here's a run into the middle, very short yardage. Right now, Gus, it's playing out like this. Clark runs into the middle, not much there. They try to get outside, picking up a little yardage, enough to keep the drive alive. Second down, 8 at their own 49. QB back, hits his jet man and missed him. Wide open on the left side. It'll go incomplete. Third down and 8. And here's where throwing the ball that can really jam you up. You got to pick up 4, 5, or 6 on those plays into the flat like that. Now you're looking at a third down, and it's going to be a downfield pass now. Third down and 8.
Yeah, you're going to have to look for some good blocking right now and really help to extend this play. Last week, against Central Methodist, Clark was 6 of 14 on third down attempts.
He gets into the backfield with quarterback Kenyon Williams. Back to throw. Steps up in a pocket. Fires one over the middle. He's got his man caught in Raven territory at the 41-yard line. Nice catch over on the right side by Max Steffen. And once again, it's Bloomquist making the tackle for Benedictine. But Clark running downfield right now. They're at the Raven 41-yard line, having taken the opening kickoff, moving it downfield. They stay with the no huddle. They are in an up-tempo offense. Wraparound handoff, Egan, nothing.
That time the Ravens getting in there quickly and in the backfield to make the stop. That's going to be number 96, Will Hurtado, a freshman out of Omaha's Westside High.
How about that? Mike Lucas, we hope you're listening. Second down and 10. Back to throw, looking over the middle. It's got his man open, and the official, for the second week in a row, breaks up a pass play.
That time the ball going over the middle. They were looking for Esteban Perez over the middle, a freshman out of San Antonio, Texas. A little miscommunication between the officials, and it'll fall incomplete. It'll bring up a third and 10 now for Clark.
Ravens are going to bring Isaac Anderson in to that defensive front four. Third down at the Raven 41-yard line. Now they'll take a long look over to the far sideline. Sophomore quarterback Kenyon Williams out of San Diego gets the play. Long count. Rolls left. Looking, chased, missed by the first guy, missed by the second guy, failed tackle attempts, and a nice shot by Williamson to just throw the ball away. But Benedictine had the defense, had him in the right position. Gus, this has been a recurring issue for BC, not making those wrap-ups.
Yeah, they've been struggling to, you know, wrap up guys, and that's really what hurt them against Peru State. The incomplete pass will bring up a fourth down, and Ravens will put the kick return unit out there. And for BC, it's going to be Austin Buteau.
Austin from his own 10, maybe 12-yard line. He'll step forward just a little bit. Anthony Gomez will be punting from his own 45-yard line. An opportunity for Clark to pin the Ravens deep early on. Snap back, helmet high, the kick is away. And that is high and bounces out of bounds inside the 15-yard line. An outstanding kick for a freshman for Clark, Anthony Gomez. When was the last time we have seen two teams with this many freshmen playing in a college football game?
It's been a while, right?
My goodness. First and 10, Benedictine. They'll say the ball carried out of bounds at the Raven 12-yard line. And here comes the Raven offense led by senior quarterback Garrett Kettle. Last week, Garrett, 13 of 24, passing 201 yards. And of that, about 200 came in the second half. Officials taking a world of time getting everything down and getting the ball set. I'm really not sure what the holdup here is.
He wants 25 on the play clock before
okay.
He starts it.
There we go. Benedictine with no one in the backfield with a quarterback. And Kettle will keep it himself. Cut left, get to the 15, maybe the 16-yard line. Give him 4 on a QB boot to the left side. And
yeah, that wasn't even a quarterback draw. I mean, that was just a straight quarterback run. The snap came back to Garrett Kettle. As soon as he got it, he lowered the head and pushed forward. And on the tackle for Clark, Logan Auding, a redshirt freshman out of Cascade, Iowa.
Again, Benedictine goes with no one in the backfield. Now they're going to bring a running back up to the QB's left hand. The handoff will go to the right side. Here's going to be Rayshon. He's at the 25, 35. Rayshon bounces outside 40. Mills 45 up near the midfield mark. Rayshon Mills. Last week, got 10 rushes for 39. He's got more than that right now.
Well, Rayshon Mills coming into today's game, 43 carries for a 165 and 2 rushing touchdowns. That's like a good game, right? You know, and we are 3 games in, and this being game 4. A nice job right there by Rayshon, really gashing this Clark defense.
BC, just 2 yards short of the midfield mark, gets first and 10 Ravens, 11 minutes to go in a scoreless opening quarter. Motion will go to the right side, that's going to be Mills, and again, no one to the backfield with Kettle. Takes a snap, looks right, plenty of time, over the middle, caught, 45-40. Another Raven first down to the 39-yard line. Out of the backfield, there's going to be Jayshon Todd, who we normally see down the sideline and getting out in the open. That time, he was in the middle of the field in a lot of traffic.
But a nice intermediate route. We talked about it on Sportsbook. We talked about it last week against Peru State. You've got to see Benedictine start to hit on some of those intermediate routes. Last week, their receivers were averaging over 20 yards a catch, which is wonderful. But again, got to get a little bit going on underneath.
Jayshon on the left side of the quarterback. Rayshon on the right side of the quarterback. Kettle straight back to throw. Flares it over to the left side. Here comes Todd. Breaks a tackle. Oh, no, he's going to be ankle tackled inside the 40 down to the 38-yard line. So ultimately gaining 1 yard. And that was a nice play by Joel Gonzalez. Strong safety for Clark. Because without that ankle tackle, he's still running.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great job by Gonzalez. But if you look at Rayshon, and as he comes over to the sideline, Pops even says something to him real quick, pass him on the head. Got to make that guy miss in space.
Second and 9, Benedictine at the 38. Deep drop, Kettle throws over into the flat, wide open, caught at the 30, down to the 25-yard line. A nice catch by Harry O'Neill, the junior from Kansas City Rockhurst High School.
Mark Edwards the fourth made the stop over there for Clark. But again, the Ravens are doing a great job of, you know, keeping fresh personnel and keeping this drive going. They're quickly back up over the football.
Rayshon comes out, and we've got Trey Adger in. Now, very wide to the left side on this first down call. Defense is way offside, and they're going to stop the play. I thought that would maybe be a free play, but...
Well, they wanted a free play right there, and that's what Kettle's really upset about. But they're going to say that defensive end came across unabated to the quarterback.
Offside, defense, number 46. Unabated, 5 yard penalty, still first down.
There you go. Any time that guy comes off and is unabated to the quarterback, they're going to kill the play because he has a shot to really light the quarterback up.
It is a first and 5 Ravens. Now, down to the Clark 20-yard line. Lots of movement in the defensive front, but everybody's back. Snap back. Garrett looks left, throws it behind his intended receiver, and it is going to go incomplete through the hands of Jacob Gathright. Not a great pass, but Jacobs comes off the field thinking he should have caught that.
Yeah, Jacobs is going to be really upset because that's going to be one that he should have probably been able to haul in. Coming off a good game last week against Peru State where he had 2 catches, 58 yards, and a touchdown.
Ravens continue to really use a lot of personnel. Trips left. Jayshon.
Jayshon's your quarterback.
He is at the Wildcat, takes the snap himself, runs left, cuts in the middle, gets down to the 15, down to the 14-yard line. Jayshon Todd, another Raven, first and 10. Benedictine moving the football on its first possession today.
Griffin Mulcahy, the number 3 tackler for Clark, was able to make the stop on the play, but he's going to come off the field and get looked at on the far sideline by the training staff. He injured that lower leg.
Reed Levi will check out of the game. Trey Adge is going to come back in. So Trey wide to the right side. Slot Austin Buteau. They've got 2 tight ends, 2 guys in the backfield. And Garrett back in at the QB spot. First and 10. Handoff is going to go. No, quarterback will keep it. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. He's in the end zone. Touchdown, Garrett Kettle. Touchdown, Ravens. Garrett Kettle in from 15 yards out. And Gus, everything moved to the right. Garrett went straight ahead.
Well, you know why everything moved to the right? The Ravens brought in Jayshon Todd, put him to the left of quarterback Garrett Kettle, and it was a read option. On the fake, they flowed so hard saying, we haven't seen Jayshon in the backfield much, they've got to be giving him the ball. So everybody oversold there. A great keep by Garrett Kettle and getting the Ravens on the board early.
Zach Filippi, he's a Benedictine long snap man. Tegan Trammell set to attempt the PAT. It is down, it is up, and it is good. We'll take a timeout of the field. The Ravens score on their first possession of the afternoon. 8:39 to go, opening quarter. Benedictine 7, Clark scoreless.
Taco John's has a new value menu. Their value-est menu brings in premium ingredients like bacon and guac without the premium price. With options starting at just $1, you won't find value like that anywhere else. Chicken Bacon Ranch Loaded Potato Olays, just $3. Chicken Bacon Guac Street Tacos, just $2. Chicken Snack Quesadillas, just $1. Find these deals and more and an open lobby at Taco John's in Atchison. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better.
Let your local Farmers Insurance agent, Sandra Trumpeter, put her experience to work for you. Sandra proudly serves Atchison County families and businesses and is ready to review your existing policies or provide a no-obligation quote today. Call Sandra Trumpeter Agency at 913-367-3232 to get smarter about your insurance. Again, that's Sandra Trumpeter Agency at 913-367-3232. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Welcome back to Atchison, Kansas, where the Penticton Ravens have marched downfield with their first possession. Guys, that was a long drive, 88-yard drive for Penticton. They lead now 7-0, kicking it away. And high, deep kick again. It is going to be Spate at the 1. Kenneth Spate up the middle. He is hit at the 13-yard line. What a fantastic kick coverage play by Jacob Gathright.
Great job by the Raven wide receiver getting down there on the kick coverage unit, and Clark looking at a long field here. They're going to mark it inside the 15 down to the 13-yard line. So no plays out of the playbook now, right?
No. No, absolutely anything you want to run. I'm going to be curious to see if Clark continues to do the hurry-up, no-huddle kind of an offense where in their second possession maybe they're going to alter that and go a little more traditional. It's going to be interesting to see. Well, they're going to go back again to Garrett Egan. He is here. Number two quarterback, wearing number two, running back, but he's getting the start today. He'll run into the left side. Jalen James is there. Oh, there's nowhere. There's nowhere for him to go. That is Garrett Egan's nightmare matchup, running into Jalen.
Yeah, Jalen James right there just came flying through. Nobody was able to pick him up and block him. And again, another tackle and continues to close the gap between him and number two all-time tackling.
Garrett Egan again listed at 5'6", probably 5'5". Here's a quarterback play action, rolling left, going deep, man wide open. He's going to turn around, make the catch, and drop it at the 40-yard line. Because that was going to be a 27-yard pass play, but it was a little poorly thrown, and Josh Morris finally got down there. But I don't think it was the defense as much as the receiver just had to come back so far for the badly thrown ball.
Yeah, and there's the problem right there. We've talked about the speed for these corners of Benedictin. If you're going to underthrow one, you're going to be in trouble because Josh Morris covers a lot of space really quickly, right? And that's exactly what happened right there. The ball was underthrown. Morris closed quickly and was able to knock the ball away as he made the hit.
Ravens are going to switch in the defensive backfield, putting Malcolm over to the right side. Now the quarterback is back. He's going to be hit in the end zone, gets a pass away, and throws it away into the Benedictine sideline. He was being pressured by two defenders, and BC is going to get the ball back, give Gavin Spangler pressure on that one for the Ravens.
Yeah, Gavin Spangler and Joe Glaser did a nice job getting into the backfield, and right there it looked like Clark was trying to set up a screen, but nothing doing, and then four. Clark, their second possession, will end in a punt.
And now for the Ravens, not one, but in fact a duel of return men with the Adger and Buteau. And they're going to be at the 40-yard line, the Pride 40-yard line. Ravens should get some great field position out of this. The punt by Gomez, middle of the end zone. He kicks it. It is high. It is hanging. And Trey will take it. Nobody sees him. They chase the wrong guy. Trey to the 35-30. Trey to the 25-20. Trey to the 15-yard line. They all chased the wrong guy. The ball was going to the left side, not the right.
That was an impressive job by Trey. He started to look to Buteau, and Buteau kept his head up. And so the defenders are watching the return guy. He realizes that Trey doesn't seem interested in this punt, so it must be going to Buteau. They all start veering towards Buteau. Trey fields it on the other side of the field, and a big return sets the Ravens up with a 1st and 10 of the 15.
That was an incredible play, putting the Ravens in superb field position at the 15-yard line. Jay Sean Todd in. He again at that Wildcat quarterback spot in the gun. First and 10 to the 15. Jay Sean will keep it. Gets a lead block. Cuts right. Accelerates to the edge. Out of bounds at the 10. Tackled way out of bounds. No penalty is down. Give him a half a dozen. They're going to mark him at the 9.
Yeah, nice play right there by Jay Sean. Again, it's just that read option play with Rayshon. Put the ball in there, realizes the end cuts down, keeps it on the end around, and a 6 yard gain sets up a 2nd and 4.
Tell you what, it was a nice lead block over there, too, by Harry O'Neill for BC, helping spring him to the edge. Garrett Kettle is back into the QB. It's a 2nd down 4. Raymond's at the 9 yard line. Garrett will keep it. Now pitch. Here's Rayshon. He'll work to the left side, stacked up. The ball pops loose. It's on the ground. Clark thinks they've gotten it, and they have. Rayshon turns it over. And the Raven, incredible drive, has stopped Adrian Tamayo out of Oak Hills, California, covering it up for the Pride.
Fumbles have been a problem for Benedictine. And you look back to last week, they had a fumble that they lost and an interception. And a couple weeks ago during the coaches show, you were talking to Coach Osborne. He wants Benedictine to be, what, -2 in the turnovers? And right now you've already put yourself behind the E-ball right there.
It is 1st and 10. Clark, the Pride defense, comes up big when they needed him. They'll have the ball, though, deep in their own territory at the 8-yard line. 8-yard line for Clark. Little wraparound handoff and a straight-ahead run. Penalty markers all over the place. This very long run is going to come back with a hold. They're not one, but two penalties flying along the line of scrimmage, the 8-yard line. Officials have a little powwow, but this is lucky for the Ravens because it's going to be coming back.
Personal foul, shot block, numbers 55 and 72 on the offense. Half the distance to the goal, replay for two.
So what you're going to get right there is you had a high-low block, right? You had a guy engaged and another guy went to cut within the box. So the penalty doesn't hurt them that much in the sense of how far they're backed up. It does hurt them because they negate a long play. But half the distance, it'll be a 1st and 14.
Williams, the quarterback, now standing in the end zone waiting for the snap. Garrett Egan is running back on his left hand. Back to throw once again. Fires it over the middle. It's batted away and incomplete. That was a great job of getting a hand in the air by maybe outside linebacker Kevin Spangler. Wow. Ravens leading tackler. We talked about him with Coach a little bit before the game. He is having some kind of a year.
Yeah, Kevin Spangler having a great season. Right now, 23 tackles. Now, I'm going to tell you, with the numbers that Jalen James is putting up today, they'll probably pass him, but Gavin, with a great job coming in for Benedictine, a guy who I don't think they really anticipated starting this year.
Still to the 4-yard line, is now 2nd down 14. Wraparound handoff. Running back will try the right side. He runs right into the arms of Spencer Witt, and he's going to be down around the 10. It'll bring up now for Clark, 3rd down and long. And the Ravens, Gus, I have never seen them utilize so many different personnel. Not only the offense, but also defensively. It seems like every down I'm seeing 3-4 guys switching out.
Well, you know, we saw the new 2 deeps that came out this week, and of the 8 linebackers listed, 4 of them were guys that we hadn't seen before, and right now they are doing a great job of shuffling those guys in and out and using completely different combinations of stuff we haven't seen all year.
Back to throw on a 3rd down call. A pass to the near side is picked off! Stepping in front of the football, that's Spencer Witt, I think. On the near side.
Is it Hoskins? I think it's Jackson Hoskins over here.
I got the glass as soon as he turns, and I can see if that's a 38 or 39. It's 39. You're right, Gus. Jackson Hoskins. Another redshirt freshman stepping up big for Benedictine at a Blue Valley West High School. Ravens are going to come out with great field position as these teams exchange turnovers in Clark territory. 6:20 to go in the opening quarter. Benedictine leading it 7-0. Unlike our game last night where it was pretty much all played in the middle of the field, this game so far has all been played on the Clark half.
It's been played, inside the Clark 35?
Pretty much. Here are the Ravens coming in at the 28-yard line. Garrett is back, looking over the middle, looking. Now he tucks it. He's got room. 30, 25, 20. Steps out of bounds at the 15. That was a smart step. It will be a 1st and 10 for the Ravens.
Garrett gets that snap. He's got to start looking downfield, right? He had 2 receivers
yes.
wide open.
Straight down the middle.
And then tucks the ball. And I get it. At first, if you don't get that ball away quickly, it's going to be a tough pass. But right there, Garrett Kettle's going to get rid of that ball and get
6 on the board. First and 10. Garrett's not a pocket quarterback. Now he's going to keep it, make a little shovel pass straight ahead to the 15, to the 10, to the 5-yard line. Nice run straight ahead for Benedictine. And the Ravens continue to bring in athletes that we don't know much about. That time, though, Court Madison out of Topeka's Washburn Rural, another freshman with that catch and carry his first and goal.
That was a inside tight end screen right there. You ran the option to the left and then shovel underneath to the tight end coming back across.
Rayshon is back in at the running back spot. They're going to bring Reed Levi to the tight end right. Hand off Rayshon. He'll bounce to the 5, goes into the end zone. Touchdown, Ravens! Rayshon Mills goes in from 4 yards away, and Benedictine increases its lead. Ravens go up with that score 13-0 at 5:43 to go in the opening quarter. And back in, Tegan Trammell. Trammell is your kicker. It will be held by Garrett Kettle. And you mentioned, Gus, long snapper Zach Philippi coming out of a well-known high school, huh?
Yeah, Bishop Gorman out in Las Vegas.
Waiting for that PAT. The snap is perfect. The kick is airborne and counted. Taking a break, Joseph with 5:43 still to play in the opening quarter. Ravens 14, Clark nothing.
Why not start the new season with a visit to an old friend, Mueller's Locker Room, locally owned and operated. Mueller's is Atchison's original sports bar and grill and has been the hot spot for good times since 1988. With a wide selection of great foods, plus great beer, wine, and spirits, you'll always win at Mueller's. In the dugout or on the deck, let Mueller's be your locker room. Mueller's Locker Room at 120 South 2nd in Atchison, your sports bar for all seasons.
Whether it's normal automotive maintenance like oil changes and wiper replacement, or more serious repairs like starters and alternators, Atchison Auto Parts is your local stop for everything you need to keep your vehicle running at peak performance. Locally owned and operated, you'll recognize the car guys behind the counter, and they'll get you the right parts. They carry a line of diesel engine parts, including turbos, injection pumps, and injectors for Duramax, Cummins, and Powerstroke engines. Atchison Auto Parts, your independent Napa dealer at 424 Woodlawn Avenue in Atchison.
Here's the Benedictine kick away. Return man watches it bounce out the back of the end zone as Kenneth Spate walked back, backpedaled, but said, I don't want any part of that. It'll be first and 10, Clark. We're down to 5:43 to go in the opening quarter, and Benedictine Gus has been very sound in this first part of the game. I say that knowing that they did fumble inside the 10-yard line, but got it back, took another takeaway, and has scored twice in this first quarter.
Yeah, I mean, they have had 3 possessions, have scored 2 touchdowns right now, and then had the fumble at the 8-yard line. So, I mean, they've done a good job to this point, knocking into what we talked about during our Dairy Queen Grill and Chill. Keys to the game, have urgency with your offense.
Here comes Clark. They need some urgency, and they've been playing like that with no huddle. Here's a little wraparound handoff. Running back bounces outside. There's a hold, no call. Getting to the edge at the 35 and bumped out of bounds along the near side, taking out a couple of Raven coaches on the near side. I hope everybody's okay. I see Coach Pops. He's all right, so I'm all right with that. Brian Barrera with the tackle. You can get hurt on the sideline, okay?
Yeah, nothing good.
It turned into a big gain for Clark. All the way up to the 38-yard line. Another quick snap. This time to the left side goes Egan. He'll accelerate, get to the edge. Jalen's chasing him, and there's a huge collision after about a 7-yard gain. Tyler Tierney will get the stop on the play.
Tyler Tierney coming up from that free safety position, the number 3 tackler on the team, came way across the field, makes a big hit on the sideline. They are going to give him about 6 yards on the play. It'll bring up a 2nd and 4 now for Clark.
Clark trying to open it up a little bit. They're spreading the field out. They're trying to run wide right, then run wide left, trying to open the middle. Quarterback is back setting up the screen. And it's away, and it's dropped, and probably the best thing that could have happened to Garrett Egan is not holding onto that pass.
Yeah, the Ravens kind of had that sniffed out over there. Dwayne Lacy was in on it. You got Garrett Pavinic. And so now it'll bring up a 3rd down for this Clark offense. And, again, time of possession really doesn't matter to Clark because they are quickly over the football.
At their own 44-yard line, Pride with the football, they trail Benedictine 14-0. San Diego product, Kenyon Williams, is their quarterback.
And again, back to throw. Lofts one deep. Left side. Got a man wide open. Right through his hands. He dropped it at the 30-yard line because he had beaten his coverage. It will go incomplete and bring up now for Clark a fourth down. And if you're Kenyon Williams, you got to be thinking to yourself, I don't know how much better I could have thrown that football. It was spot on.
Yeah, you look over on the far sideline is Malik Maison, a 5'9" freshman running back out of Tampa, Florida, by way of Jefferson High. Doesn't talk to anybody as he comes off the field. That was a tough break right there for Clark because that was going to be an easy six.
And instead, they're looking at a fourth down at their own 43, and the punting unit is in. Gomez takes a snap a little bit high, but is able to get it away, and it's not a good kick, but it's spinning, and it's going to take a nice Clark bounce. Raven return men are going to get away from it, and it'll be down at the 27-yard line. So that is the point from which Benedictine will begin its fourth possession of the afternoon. First and 10, Ravens at their own 27-yard line. We're at 5:11 to go in the opening quarter, and a 14-0 Benedictine lead. Don't forget, we've got a great halftime Where Are They Now interview. Again, a guy who is on not one, but two Benedictine playoff teams in his 3 years at BC. Started in junior college, came here as a sophomore, and had a great, great career. Eric Semenich. Not an easy name to pronounce, especially if you're saying it fast. I'm going to talk to Eric about that. I'm sure no one has ever mispronounced that.
Sure, nobody's misspelled it, right?
Neither. Here's Garrett Kettleback. Gets his pass away. It's going to be caught coming out of the backfield for Benedictine. Make of a catch for the Ravens, Harry O'Neill. Nice catch, and he turns it upfield, getting about 8. Takes him to the 35-yard line.
Harry O'Neill coming into the ballgame, 3 catches for 62 yards and a touchdown. Did not catch the ball last week against Peru State.
Second down, 2 Ravens. Kettle back to throw again. Looks over the middle, has a man, and it's going to be broken up on a pass interference. Collis Buteau had a step on his defender, and I guess there was only one thing for Stephen Thomas to do, and that was reach in.
Yeah, there's either going to be a pass interference against Steven or Bryce Carlisle, because Carlisle was beat by Trey Adger right in the same vicinity. He grabbed Trey.
Pass interference, defense, number 2, 15-yard penalty, also automatic first
down. So there you have it, the Ravens moving the football again. O'Neill comes out of the game for the Ravens, and Jay Sean Todd will check in. He'll be slot left for BC. 4:45 to go in the opening quarter. It is beautiful. Sunlit day, hardly a cloud in the sky. Great crowd on hand. Quarterback is going to keep it on the QB draw. Gets absolutely nothing. Faked the handoff on the sweep and got nowhere.
In on the stop right there, Adrian Tamayo, the guy who came up with the fumble recovery earlier on in the ballgame, makes a stop right there for Clark. That'll bring up now a 2nd and 10 for the Pride.
Coming wide to the near side, is that Pete? Pete Cadena over here on the near side?
Yeah, Pete Cadena going to be lined up wide to the left. You're going to have Jake Gathright in the slot. And then right next to him will be Jay Sean Todd.
Second down. Benedictine at the 50. QB's back. Flares it over near side. And it's going to be taken by Gathright. Cuts into the middle. We'll pick up about 5 yards. Cut into the teeth of the defense where Courtney Mabels out of Chicago is there for Clark. By the way, Courtney is closer to Clark than Clark is to Benedictine when he's at home. Chicago is way closer to Dubuque than we are. Third down, they're going to mark him just short of the 45-yard line. Third down, half a dozen Ravens. 3:40 to go and running along here in the first quarter. 14-0 Benedictine in front in this Heart of America Athletic Conference college football game. The shift to the right side. Back to throw, Kettle running. Now steps up, fires a pass short. It's going to be taken by Todd, and he will fall forward and get within 1 yard of the first down. And now for the Ravens, you go on fourth?
Yeah, probably. I mean, Coach Osborne's been one who's been okay with rolling the dice this season, and now we're going to see Court Madsen and Reed Levi in.
To counter that, Clark is going to bring in some really big guys of their own, like Javis Jackson, 6'3", 300+.
Here we are in game number 4, and this will be the 10th fourth down Benedictine has gone for. They are 4 of 9 coming in, and Clark is going to say, hold the phone.
Yep, we're taking a timeout with Pride. Timeout, 2:56 to go in the opening quarter from Atchison. It remains Benedictine 14, Clark nothing.
Once upon a time, in 1856, There was a small community bank that really valued their customers and worked very hard to serve them. This hometown bank continued this practice year after year. It grew and prospered, and more people became customers. After 165 years, it has remained a strong and secure financial organization. All this time, it never lost sight of what made it strong, their customers. Come and bank happily ever after with Exchange Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
Hunley Liquor is the place to go for your favorite beverages. Stop by and check out their beer selection. They are carrying lots of new beers, and they always have cold ones ready to go. Also in stock is an array of seltzers, wines, and spirits, something for everyone. Stop by and check it out. You may find a new favorite. Hunley Liquor, 119 South 9th Street in Atchison. Hometown friendly, hometown helpful. That's Hunley Liquor.
The Raven fourth down and two call. They're going to swing. They tight end over to the right side. Play action. Back stays into block. The wide open receiver is going to be caught. 45, 30. Down to the right side. 20. On his feet. Breaking back in the middle is Reed Levi. 15. Reed drags 3, 4, 5, 6. Tacklers down to the 6-yard line. What a catch and run by Reed Levi.
Yeah, Reed Levi did a great job of getting open on that little bit of a drag pattern. Now, the only thing that scared me is when he cut back across the field and had those defenders hanging on him, how tough it is to keep that ball locked away. But a great job by the big tight end out of Rockhurst High, a 6'4", 220 junior. Now, he's quickly going to run back, and they're going to go double tight. Now, they're going to shift that tight end back out to the left.
And we've got Buteau between Adger and who's our other guy? Reed over here on the left side. It is first and goal, Benedictine at the 8. Running to the right side, Garrett Kettle, into the end zone, touchdown Ravens!
What a job by Garrett Kettle right there, just taking the snap, running right off the right side, and what a bulldozer Court Madsen, your tight end, was there on the right side, able to just open up an avenue and into the end zone for the touchdown. Benedictine now 3 touchdowns on their first 4 possessions.
Free safety, Kenneth Spate, who does a lot of the kick returning for Clark, is laying on the ground, gets up to his knees, just throws his arms in there and said, "Coach, man, they just ran over me. There's nothing I could do." As BC goes up 20-0, waiting for a point after. Trammell on a little bit of a run now, hitting consecutive PATs, and that is going to be 3 in a row today. Timeout. 2:19 to go, still in the opening quarter at Wilcox Stadium, where it's Benedictine 21 and Clark nothing.
Skyway Vapes has a new home. See them at 711 Commercial Street for your vaping products. They carry everything you need to get started on your journey to a healthier alternative to smoking, carrying products ranging from mini pod systems all the way up to intermediate mods. Check them out at their new location, 711 Commercial in Atchison. Still with those great hours, open 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 7 on Sunday. It's Skyway Vapes in Atchison. Subway makes it their priority to serve you the delicious meals you love in the easiest and safest ways possible. Order in-store, online, or through the Subway app for carry-out service. And with so many sandwich and salad options, everyone in the family will be happy. Check out their fresh melts, signature wraps, protein bowls, and amazing salads at Subway under the 5th Street Viaduct in Atchison.
Well, as we return, Benedictine kicks through the back of the end zone and at 2:19 to play in the opening quarter. Ravens already leading at 21-0. Clark comes out on the field. And Gus, the only question that I've got for you right now at this moment is, which is playing better, the Raven offense or the Raven defense? Because right now, they are both playing the best we've seen this year, I think.
Yeah, both sides of the football are playing well. And the Raven defense, it's great to see them rebound after the struggles they had against Peru State last week where they weren't scoring. But I think for me right now, the big thing is, I'm excited to see this Raven offense scoring and, again, taking advantage of their possessions.
QB's back to throw. Players went over to the near side and an isolated one-on-one tackle in a wide-open space by Josh Morris. He did a great job, Gus, against a receiver, Jorge Alvarado, who's way bigger than he is.
Yeah, Alvarado is a big guy coming in at 6'1", 220. And Josh Morris, it lists him at 5'9", and that's an overstatement, 145.
It is 2nd and 11. Clark back to throw again. Pass over the middle for the tight end. Tips it in the air. And lucky for Clark, that was not picked off. And climbing back to his feet, the intended receiver just puts his hands on his head and go, Jorge Alvarado said, man, I'm lucky I didn't tip that into a defender.
Yeah, Jalen James out there was looking to make the big hit on the receiver, and instead, the ball just kind of fluttered over his head, incomplete. That'll bring up now a 3rd and 11 for the Pride. Were they the Crusaders when they started in
the
conference,
right?
Yes, they were.
Yep. They changed their mascot from Crusaders to Pride probably half a dozen years ago, maybe.
Has Evandro come up with their new mascot yet?
No.
Okay.
Not that I've heard. 3rd down 11. QB is back. Steps up in the pocket. Pass over the middle. Is broken up, and the official threw himself to the ground. Looked like Eugene Beard. Threw himself to the ground to let the pass go over his head. And now we're going to have a penalty coming from deep in the backfield near the midfield mark where it was thrown.
Yeah, so Brian Barrera was the linebacker who made the hit. And now this is a big, big call right now because that could quite easily be a targeting. I don't agree with it because I think is what was happening was the receiver was falling as Barrera went for the ball, but now the White Hat's going to get involved in this discussion.
Referee is the ultimate decision maker here.
After discussion in the field, there's no foul to play. It's so worth it.
Yeah. See, I didn't like that play because the receiver was falling as the linebacker hit him. But again, I don't mind throwing the penalty, talk about it, and let's get it cleaned up. So, with that, it'll bring up a 4th and 11, and for the Pride, they're going to bring the punt unit back in. This is a team who punted the ball 7 times last week against Central Methodist. What, this will be their 4th punt of the quarter.
Yep, and 1 turnover. So the Ravens have had some offensive opportunities. They hope to get this ball around midfield. A snap is high, but he's able to get it away, and end-over-end kick is going to bound at the 50 and carry him out of bounds at the 48. 1st and 10, Ravens at their own 48-yard line. Spencer Witt was right down here. He was ready to lay a block on somebody, thinking that possibly that thing was going to get brought back. Raven offense, superb field position to begin this possession. 1.5 to go in the opening quarter. Ravens in front, 21-0, in front of this crowd here on Stars and Stripes Day. Here comes the BC offense. And it'll be led by senior Garrett Kittle. He'll shift Jayshon Todd to the right side. QB's back, supposed to throw it to Todd. Now he finally will, and Jayshon's going to get tackled for a loss because that play was a disaster from the moment the ball was snapped.
Yeah, and Kittle probably should have been on that play. Just throw it at his feet, right? Just throw it at the receiver's feet so that he doesn't get negative yardage. It just doesn't back you up. But 2nd and 12, and look out here on the window. It's like we're ready for next Saturday afternoon.
Reed Levi's wide left. Slot Austin Buteau. Jayshon is also wide this side. They're going to move Rayshon to the right wing for Garrett Kittle. And you bet that B out there on the window, that's letting us know we go to Lamoni a week from right now. Wraparound handoff. Straight ahead, 45, 50, 45, 40. And Rayshon Mills, the beauty of that run is he's tackled by the middle linebacker, Logan Aunting, is that he didn't dance around. He didn't dart left. He didn't dart right. He ran at the goalpost and picked up good yardage. First down call, and the same play, same way, 40-35 down to the 30-yard line, and very close to another Benedictine first down. Ravens establishing the running game, not just between the tackle guys, but between the guards.
Yeah, and right now, we're seeing Rayshon get back to the running back that we saw last year, right? Just straight ahead, power running. Don't overthink a lot of things. And right now, he's doing a great job of getting downhill.
And the opening quarter is coming to a close. We'll be back. 1 quarter in the book here in Atchison, Kansas, where it's Benedictine 21, Clark scoreless.
Benjamin Franklin once wrote about investing. An investment in knowledge pays the best interest. At Cottle Financial Group, we are committed to giving you the information you'll need to navigate the world of investments. Let us answer your most pressing questions about the markets. Whether you need a second opinion on your portfolio or you have a rollover you need help with, give us a call to learn more at 367-2700, 367-2700. Registered representative of and securities offered through Berthel Fisher & Company Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC.
Amberwell Health grew right here in Northeast Kansas when Atchison Hospital rebranded with a vision to connect their communities and their care. That vision continues with Hiawatha Community Hospital joining the Amberwell family as Amberwell Hiawatha. Amberwell Health now includes two complete care locations, Amberwell Atchison and Amberwell Hiawatha, and five clinic locations in Atchison, Horton, Highland, Leavenworth, and Troy. Together, Amberwell continues to serve their communities and their patients, combining knowledge, resources, and a dedication to provide clinical excellence and compassionate care.
Welcome back to Wilcox Stadium here on the beautiful campus of Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas. Going to the second quarter, it has been just a dominant Raven team so far today.
Yeah, right now Benedictine with their first three possessions, or the first four possessions, three touchdowns, a fumble, and on possession number five, they're driving at the 30.
Second down, one, Benedictine. Wraparound handoff, straight ahead, dancing, bouncing, and now we've got Damon Wagon in at the running back, and he needed that yard, and I think he got about a 38-inch run.
And Damon Wagon really struggled last week against Peru State, and again, 12 carries on the season, 28 yards. So
Basie is going to go wide to the left side. Pete Cadena, we've had Pete out there quite a bit. Has he made a catch yet today?
Not sure.
Okay. See if he's going to get targeted this time. He's up against a much smaller defender over there. Tight end is going to shift to the right side for the Ravens. Court Madison, QB's back to throw. Pass over there. Wide open at the 25-20. Left side 15. Stiff arm at the 10. Down to the right side, and they're going to say out of bounds at the 3-yard line. A fantastic catch. But is there a marker out there?
They can see that there's two officials. One is at the 3. One is at the 7. They're going to place him back up at the 7. But that time, a great job by Kettle to find a wide-open Jacob Gathright. And again, the Ravens are kind of, we talked about it, working that intermediate route today.
Jacob,
fewer home run pulls.
Yeah, Jacob had a couple home run catches last week at Peru, though. First and goal, BC. Let's call this the 7-yard line. A lot of personnel going in and out for the Peru State defense. I'm not even sure. Are they got 11 out there? Kettle running right. Now he's going to step up and run. Kettle's at the 10. He's at the 5. Puts his head down. Heads for the pylon. Is that in? Touchdown, Ravens! Garrett Kettle in for the second time today.
What a job by the running back, Rayshon Mills. He got out into space and was able to cut that outside linebacker, which allowed the avenue for Garrett Kettle to get into the end zone for his third rushing touchdown of the first half.
Garrett Kettle, who comes in a very capable throwing quarterback, but he has been running all over the field here this afternoon. Now he's in to hold for another PAT attempt. Tegan Trammell looking to go 4 of 4 today. Sends this one up and through, and Joseph, a timeout if you would. Early in the second quarter, 13:43 to go, first half. Benedictine 28, and still Clark scoreless.
Taco John's has a new value menu. Their value-est menu brings in premium ingredients like bacon and guac without the premium price. With options starting at just $1, you won't find value like that anywhere else. Chicken Bacon Ranch Loaded Potato Olays, just $3. Chicken Bacon Guac Street Tacos, just $2. Chicken Snack Quesadillas, just $1. Find these deals and more and an open lobby at Taco John's in Atchison. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better. Snap Fitness, your affordable neighborhood club, is open. And now is the time to schedule your tan. With 3 tanning beds and packages to fit your budget, it's the place to go. And new at Snap Fitness, Good Sense Meals. Need something fast and delicious for lunch or dinner? Stop in and check out all the options. No membership required to take advantage of tanning and meals. Call Snap Fitness at 913-367-1511 for more information on tanning, 24-hour gym memberships, or their new Good Sense Meals.
Colin Bruner puts a toe to it, and that is high and rather short. Taken to the 10, bobbled, and then picked back up. Clark sweeps to the right side, wrapped up and driven to the ground short of the 20-yard line. That was a high returnable kick, Gus, but it was so high, kick coverage got down there in a hurry, and we got a Raven at the point of tackle who's a little slow to get up. We'll give him a moment or two here as Patrick goes across the field. You're going to take a little bit of a look. Tell you what, this Raven offense has been all right today.
Yeah, for Benedictine, here we are, five possessions in, four touchdowns. We talked about it during our Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game that the Ravens have to show a sense of urgency when it comes to having the football, and I feel like they've already checked that box here today.
Okay, now, I'm hiding the stats from you. Garrett Kittle, how's he throwing the ball today? What do you think? Give me a number. How many for how many?
What, 5 for 6?
Really good. 10 of 11.
There you go, even better.
Yeah. So, again, the intermediate route that you talked about, Garrett Kittle. And they continue to take a look at the Raven across the way. Gus, we have football next weekend, which includes Benedictine going to Lamoni, Iowa. So we'll see what's going on up there. We've got our mascots with us up here today. We're good to go on a beautiful, sunny Saturday afternoon in northeast Kansas.
So for Benedictine, 28 points already here in the first half, and still got 13 minutes left in the second quarter.
Jacob Gathright gets to his feet and runs off the field, and I'm going to get a chance to remind you that Hamada Wealth Management can help you with investments and stock market plan for retirement, and more than that. Give them a call. Hamada Wealth Management, 928-443-7536. So after all of that, it is going to be Clark's football, and they're going to mark up at their own 20-yard line. First and 10 to begin this series. Williams back. Rockets one right, taken at the knee, and then out of bounds immediately after a gain of about a half a dozen. Second down, four, Spencer Witt. Another defensive play for the Ravens. The linebacking crew for BC, we're saying their name constantly. They're up on the line making running stops. They're dropping back in good coverage. Now here's a handoff to the tailback. Hit in the backfield. One, two, and sandwich.
Great job by the Raven defense quickly to get into the backfield. And the first guy back there, got that being 58, Jared Heron, an outside linebacker, a freshman out of Moberly.
How many freshmen have we seen? We've talked about it earlier, and I think we're going to have to keep talking about it. Is these teams look for the 11, and that's what Coach said in the pregame, the 11 that they went out there, their best 11. Third down, 8 for Clark. Running back to the left side of Kenyon Williams. That's going to be Garrett Egan. Back to throw, BB pass over the right side. It's going to be caught and on a knee and down, but for a first and 10 at the 33-yard line.
That time, Jackson Hoskins, the outside linebacker, over there in coverage. The Ravens are going to make a substitution across the front line. Eric Chavez will come out. Dwayne Lacy checking in.
And again, Clark quickly with no huddle to the line of scrimmage. Here's a handoff to Egan. He'll cut outside, crosses the 30, 35. It's going to be hit and hit again and will fall forward under the tackle of Javiah Bloomquist. And it is going to be a pickup. We're not going to spot him up to the 41-yard line. That's a nice 8-yard run.
Yeah, by getting 8 yards on first down, all of a sudden you take the pressure off of this second down play if you want to try anything.
QB back, hands off right side, Egan. Hit at the ankles and is going to fall forward and pick up a first down to the 44-yard line. Clark beginning the series back at their own 20. Moving the football a little bit here with 12 minutes to go in the opening half.
Over there, Jared Heron again on the stop. And Heron, a pretty decent-sized guy, 6'2", 205, the freshman.
Going wide to the left side is going to be Houston native, 5'10", freshman Jaden Wire for Clark. Back to throw again. This time right side ball is going to be caught in the flat and complete for another first down, and Jorge Alvarado will make the catch. Last week, Jorge, 2 receptions for 45 yards. He's the number 2 receiver for this Clark team, and right now the Pride hustling up over the football, throwing the short passes into the flat, just taking what they can get on each down. They're at the Benedictine 43, now rolling to his left. QB, he's got a receiver downfield and overshoots. It's going to go incomplete. Man, he had a guy down there in Cesar Aguilera who had a step and a half on two. He'd drawn two defenders, but he had them both beaten.
Yeah, he had beat his cornerback and then beat the over-the-top coverage of the safety. Now he's going to check out. And right now, Clark has a problem with this up-tempo offense. They remind me a lot of Graceland a few years ago when Graceland was giving up 70, 80 points a ball game, because you're not taking any time off the clock. You're giving the other team the ball.
Here's a handoff straight into the middle, and there might be a half a yard in it. Not much, as, again, the Raven defense swarming over Garrett Egan. Isaac Anderson, the first guy in there. Isaac's been having a really, really solid year.
Yeah, Isaac getting in there. Also making the stop, Brian Barrera.
Garrett Egan has done all the carrying for Clark to speak of. 10 rushes, 46 yards so far this afternoon. Third down, 9 for the Pride, and we've got a marker down and a false start.
False start. Offense, number 83. 5 yard penalty. Start down.
So for Clark, one of their receivers, and they've brought in so many new guys. For Clark, that one was Gail Dellwider. He's a freshman out of Chicago.
If you were Clark, I mean, don't you try to hit that Chicago area pretty hard?
You'd think so. I mean, what is it? A couple, 3 hours, maybe?
Maybe.
Back to throw on a third down, 14. Pass over to the right side. Caught, and the tackle is there. Immediately there to make the stop is going to be Malcolm. Then he pulls away and picks up, about 5 or so. It'll bring up a and long situation. Fourth down call. Fourth down, 9. Clark will bring in its unit, but Gus, do you ask yourself if they're going to kick it?
I was just going to go there. Is you're down by 28. There's still a lot of football left to be played. But at some point, you're going to have to start going for some of these.
Well, Anthony Gomez, who is their normal kicker, he is back. Standing at the Benedictine 43. No rush at all. The kick is away. It is magnificent. It is high. It is hanging. And it is way into the end zone and out the back. That was a peach if the line of scrimmage was the 20. But when you're across midfield, you just can't boom one like that. Ravens have great field position. And still 9:49 to go in the opening half, leading 28-0 in front of the crowd here this afternoon at Wilcox Stadium. Great crowd. They're hope they remember to bring the high SPF sunscreen, because it is sun beaten down out here. I mean, it'd be like Fort Lauderdale Beach this afternoon. It doesn't have any more sun than that. Here comes the Raven offense, and quarterback Garrett Kittle, first and 10 at the 20. Fires one, right side. He's looking for Trey, who goes up and a poorly thrown pass. Adger still got both hands on it, but could not haul it in before tumbling out of bounds as he was guarded by Stephen Thomas. Thomas at only 5'9". This is one of those matchups we talk about all the time. It's like a long, lanky receiver and a more diminutive defensive back.
Yeah, last year at Clark, Trey Adger had a big game and was able to really use these cornerbacks all day. And right there, an incomplete pass will stop the clock with 9:44 left in the second quarter.
Second down, 10. Again, the pass pumps once, pulls it back. Little sidearm pass is good for 2 yards. And they're going to say it hits the turf and is incomplete. Kettle was trying to go a little sidearm and underhand, and it just didn't work for him so much. It is now third down.
How many quarterbacks are there in the country?
One.
There's only one that can make that throw.
What do we have? A call out here? I don't
think we got a penalty on the far side.
Ineligible or something? They're going to waive defense. They're going to decline it, whatever it is.
I guess the Ravens had a formational issue, probably.
We'll see if we can pick up the call here.
Ineligible player downfield in the offense, number 67. A penalty will be declined.
There you go. Look at you go.
The quick feet of Raymore Missouri's Bryce Roseborough. He got down there a little bit too far. Bryce is a big guy, the right tackle for the Ravens at 6'3", 282. And for BC, it is now 3rd and 10. And they're going to switch out receivers, and the play comes in from the near sideline. Garrett checks his play call sleeve. Very long count. Doesn't like it. turns back. Now he's going to take the snap. Lob one downfield. He's got Trey open, and did he get his feet down? No.
Ooh, I thought he had that one.
I did too. You only have to have one, and I thought he had gotten it down to the 40-yard line, but cornerback Mark Edwards out of Richmond, California, was over there trying to help the official, helping him make that out-of-bounds call. It is an incompletion for Benedictine, and we're going to get a rare punt from Ravens' Matt Heinrich. So Matt in for what, a couple of times today? No, this is his first punt of the day. Ravens have either had one fumble and turned it over, and the rest of their possessions have ended with a touchdown. Snap is back, it's a beauty, and this kick away is a line drive. Return man backpedals to his own 30, comes straight up the middle, 35, and he is going to be dropped at the 40. Clark will have great field position. First and 10 of their own 40-yard line to begin this series with 9:20 to go in the half.
About a 40-yard punt right there. Court Madison going to get down there on the kick coverage unit to make the tackle. And for Clark, this will be their seventh possession of the game.
Okay, seven possessions. You don't have anything on the board yet. If you're Clark, what do you got to do? What do they got to do different to score?
Slow down. I really think that some of it is just slow down, because I think some of it is their offensive linemen are not getting the right counts and not getting out there and getting the right people blocked.
Williams brings a guy in to block, and he's back to throw. Going deep. Wide open again this time. Turning around, making a catch at the 40, 35, down the right side, breaking a tackle to the 20, and finally running over the defender and tackled at the 15-yard line. That was a nice catch over in the right flat. And, Gus, you got to give a bunch of yardage there to Dominic Pedroza.
Kyle Gibson, along with Josh Morris, in on the stop for the Ravens. You talk a freshman and a sophomore in on the tackle right there. But a great job by Pedroza, the 5'10", 200-pound sophomore tight end.
He is a rock out there, big and strong, and took him down to the 15-yard line. Now a little draw play. Hit in the backfield and spun down is Garrett Egan. Tremendous pursuit by Brian Barrera. For the Ravens, a loss of two.
And Egan, a little slow to get up off the field right there.
That alligator roll, when you grab that ankle and you kind of rolled him up a little bit. Second down, 12. Clark at the Benedictine 17-yard line.
Speaking of the Gators, don't they have a big game today?
Yeah, they have a pretty big game today. They're playing a team that's had marginal success over the years.
A little bit. I think I've heard of them before.
Mm-hmm. Second down and 12. And Kenyon Williams now will stop and look over to the right side. Clark still has a couple of timeouts left in the half. It's going to be just straight ahead run to the 15 and down to the 11-yard line. That was a quick hitter. Straight up the middle, good for a half a dozen. And the Pride moving the football. Hope you're enjoying college football this afternoon here on CARE Radio, KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison. Two to the right and two to the left for the Pride. Is there looking at a third down? Six. They're at the Raven 11-yard line. Williams is back, throwing into the end zone. Tipped, and picked off in the end zone. Are you going to bring it out? No, don't do it. The Ravens will stymie Clark again. And, Gus, that was teamwork on the defensive side, like you draw it up. The front guy got a hand on it and batted it into the air. That was Tyler Tierney. And then it was Jordan Malcolm who was able to keep his feet in play and haul that in for the interception.
I was really worried that Jordan was going to try to bring that out.
Because, I thought he was running.
You know, any cornerback with the ball in their hands, they think they can score from 109 out.
And that's what he was, 108, 109 out. He was very near the back of the end zone. Deep in that right corner, and it is first and 10 Raven offense. The Benedictine defense has been pretty stingy today.
Yeah. Seven possessions today for Clark. Five of them had ended in punts, two of them in interceptions.
Clark has rushed so far today for a team total of 51 yards and thrown for 90 more. QB's back. It's a shovel pass and straight ahead again to the tight end, Reed Levi. Benedictine is good for about, we're going to give you about seven. It is a second down call. They're going to mark him way back. They barely, Reed's knee went down at the 24, so good for only about 4 yards. 7.5 to go. We're midpoint of the second quarter. 28-0, Ravens out front. This is the wraparound handoff, trying the right side, getting a block to the edge, putting his head down, crossing the 30, picking up a first down with a couple of yards to spare is going to be Damon Wagand. Wagand picking up a first down and able to advance the sticks on the far side. BC is going to bring Harry into the ball game now for BC. He's a 6'4 freshman out of Cathedral Catholic in San Diego. First and 10, Ravens at the 31. Feels like the BC offense has been out there all day. Don't those guys have to be tired? QB in trouble. I think he was going to try to shovel that. Now he's just going to be hit and buried, losing about 3 yards. That was absolutely a broken play.
Yeah, and Garrett Kettle just realized that nothing good was going to come out of it, so tuck the ball under. He's going to lose a couple yards on the play. It'll bring up now a second and, let's call it second and 13.
Wagand will come out of the game for Benedictine, and it's going to be Jayshon Todd coming in on the right side of the quarterback.
Also good to see Jacob Gathright back out on the field.
He's a tough guy. He's going to be all right. Second down, 13. Three-yard loss by Kettle on that previous play. He's back to throw, steps up in the pocket, grab of the face mask, and
There
comes the marker. He was tackled as the defender's right hand was holding on to his face mask. And here will come that penalty.
Personal foul. Face mask. Number 9 on the defense. 15-yard penalty. Automatic first down.
That's a defender. I mean, I'm not looking to, you know, be in this guy's corner and explain away anything, but isn't it pretty easy when you just reach out for a guy and suddenly you find your hand on the face mask and then did you grab it? Did you just have your hand against it? What happened in there? It's hard to say, isn't it?
Yeah, and the problem with that one was as Kettle was kind of coming to contact, he lowered his head down and kind of lowered his head right into that hand area. So the penalty will move the ball up near midfield. They're going to mark it down at the 44-yard line for the Raven offense.
And that was another new defender in for Clark for defensively getting that penalty. Israel Hernandez, a sophomore D lineman. First and 10, BC at their own 44. Raven defense holding a moment ago, and now they'll shift the tight end over to the left side. Snap is back. Garrett's rolling. He's got room to run, but instead will throw, and that pass is way too tall for a very tall receiver, Pete Cadena, and it's going to go incomplete as Garrett was running to the left side. I thought, and this is just going back into having watched Garrett for a while, thought he was going to run for that ball.
Yeah, I really did. He was rolling out there to the left, and a lot of times he'll tuck that under and pick up as much yardage as he can. But it'll bring up a second and 10 in the Ravens. Got both speed guys together on the left side. They're going to have Gathright and Jayshon to the left.
We're at 5:50 to go in the opening half. Ravens in front 28-0. Drake Prey is in the game. And Drake's going to get the handoff to the 45, 50, 45-yard line. Drake Prey, the old chieftain out of Tonganoxie, Kansas, gets a Benedictine first down.
Drake Prey is one of those runners that you really like to watch, right? He is just a hard downhill runner. Reminds you a lot of the Pleasant Ridge back from last night. Drake Prey coming into the ballgame, 5 carries, 30 yards, and a big first down right there. And Ravens will keep the clock rolling here in the second half.
And they're going to,
quarter.
And they're going to keep Prey in. He'll be on the quarterback's left hand. Jayshon Todd is going to be at the quarterback's right hand. And now he'll shift out into the flat. Back to throw. Being chased. Running for his life. The pass over the middle. Caught by Prey. 45-40. Drake at the 35-30. Pulled down from behind at the 27-yard line. Another great play. Drake Prey in back-to-back plays. He's got about 40 yards.
Yeah, that was a 20-yard play right there by Drake Prey. A great job. And that wasn't an easy play for anybody. Garrett Kettle was being hit as he let go of the football. Drake Prey was trying to catch a screen pass and a lot of traffic. Then he turns it around and picks up 20 yards. A great first down for the Raven offense. And again, this thing continues to hum.
Cadena Buteau, wide to the left side for Benedictine. QB is back. All the time in the world, throws to the right side, a high pass caught by Damon Wagand out of the backfield for relatively short yardage. Damon's only going to get 2-3 yards out of this as Stephen Thomas makes a play for Clark and the tackle there. Last week, this Clark team lost against a good Central Methodist team. I think that's a team that's kind of on a bounce back. Central Methodist winning that one 31-16 Ravens leading here 28-0 with 4 minutes to go in the first half. So for Clark, they've been giving up some points and their offense has been struggling a little bit. Garrett Kittle, plenty of time. Play clock at 6 as the snap comes back. Looks left, crossing pattern caught. 15, 10, 5, count it, touchdown Ravens! A pass from Garrett Kittle into the right flat, and Benedictine goes into the end zone from 22 yards out. And they extend their lead at a 34-0.
What a play right there by Jayshon Todd. The ball was snapped. He starts just slow playing it, and the cornerback slows down. Then all of a sudden he hits the gas, runs a little bit of a slant pattern, and nobody was able to catch him on that play.
Here comes Tegan Trammell. Tegan moves his hand up and down, lining it up. Now puts a toe to it, hits the upright, and it's no good. We got a timeout on the field at 3:56 to go. We're still in the opening half in Atchison, Kansas, where it is now Benedictine College 34, Clark nothing.
Your car is a complex machine filled with the latest technology. It needs quality service to keep it running right. By taking your car or truck to Lewis Chevrolet Buick in Atchison, you will have a peace of mind knowing your vehicle will be maintained and repaired by highly trained professionals. The Lewis Chevrolet Buick Service Department stands behind their work with a guarantee you will feel good about. So bring your vehicle into the people who understand it best. Lewis Chevrolet Buick, great cars and great service. Call them at 913-367-3000 or stop by 314 Woodlawn in Atchison.
Do you still have retirement plans with a former employer? Are you close to retirement and about to turn 72? Do you know what RMD means? If not, you might be making a big retirement mistake. Retirement planning is not just about retirement, but about planning. Ken Hamada with Hamada Wealth Management invites you to call to set up a complimentary review of your current retirement situation. To schedule your IRA and retirement planning review, call Brandy at 928-443-7536 or search online at Hamada Wealth Management.
Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC, Hamada Wealth Management Group, and IFG. Your unaffiliated entities.
Here comes the Benedictine kick. Again, high end over end and relatively short. Fielded by Clark at the 7-yard line. Straight up the middle and up the right hash marks and down at the 18-yard line. Does that look like a WWE move as he was grabbed at the midsection and then body slammed? First and 10, Clark at the 18-yard line. Well, for Benedictine, you know what that offense, the offense is on the near side. You know what they're saying, right? They're saying, guys, I think we could score one more before the break. 3:49 to go before halftime.
And it wouldn't be wrong.
34-0. Benedictine in front here. Quarterback Kenyon Williams has had a tough day. He'll turn around, hand off to the running back who is behind him, and he'll run into the right side of the line, surging forward for about 2 yards, second down 8. And because Clark may have been listening, they got the frequency over there on the far sideline because they have slowed this thing down like you suggested.
I was going to say they should if they don't.
I saw.
They've got the stream, I think.
I was going to say, I thought I saw a transistor radio there with 93.7. So that's always a good sign. Now looking over to the far sideline, quarterback Williams having the play sent in. And look, they're letting that play clock roll down. Down to single digits now before Williams even looks to the center. Takes a snap, play action, flares it right. Two players for Clark had run into one another and fallen to the ground. One of them was supposed to catch that ball, the other was supposed to block. The ball lands harmlessly on the ground. It's incomplete. It is going to bring up now a third down. And again, here's your pass play. It's incomplete. You stop the clock, and there's still over 3 minutes to go in the half. Third down, 7. The Clark Pride, Dubuque, Iowa. Right on the Wisconsin border.
Right on the Wisconsin-Illinois, you know.
Yeah, on this corner. And now we're going to get a timeout, Clark. Let's do it. Joseph, a break if you'd be so kind. At 3:07 to go in the half, it remains. Ravens 34, Clark nothing.
The Fall Blizzard Menu is here at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill. The fall menu includes sea salt toffee fudge, Reese's Pieces cookie dough, Oreo mocha fudge, Choco dipped brownie, and the Royal Ultimate Choco brownie. And the featured September Blizzard of the Month is both the Pumpkin Pie Blizzard and the Pecan Pie Blizzard. It's all at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill.
At Union State Bank, we've never stopped learning. In over 120 years, we've never stopped expanding our technology. To keep Union State Bank of Atchison and your finances moving forward, we provide innovative banking services while protecting your information. From our Union State Bank app to mobile and online banking tools, we're always looking ahead to serve you better without losing that small-town banking feel you love. Learn more today at mybankusb.com.
Well, see what the Pride has come up with, having used their second timeout of the half. Looking now at a third down, 7 to their own 22. Straight back to Doe. QB looks right, nothing, looks left, nothing. Now looks in the arms of a defender. He is grabbed and spun to the ground by big old Joe Burke. Another redshirt freshman for this Raven defense out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Now Benedictin. We're going to keep it here, Joseph. Benedictin looks over here and they say, wait a minute. There's about 3 minutes left in the half. We're going to get the ball back. We think we can score again.
Game number four of the season, right?
Yes.
What number sack was that for the Benedictine defense?
Oh, they haven't got a ton of sacks.
Three.
Yeah.
That is the third sack of the season for this Benedictine defense. And right there coming at a big time with 2:54 left here in the first half. They call the timeout, forcing Clark to, looks like, punt for the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 time.
Ravens would like to see a returnable punt, and we have seen some great kick returns by both Buto and Trey Adger. Trey with that long 91-yard kickoff return at Peru last Saturday evening, and those two guys are going to be back deep for the return of this kick, and BC, no matter what, is going to get some pretty good field position out of this because they are going to settle in for the return at the Clark 45-yard line. So the Ravens are going to have a relatively short field no matter what. Punting is going to be Anthony Gomez, those gold shoes standing on the goal line. The snap, the kick, he kicks away, and then it's going to be taken over the shoulder by Buteau. He goes all the way back. He's in trouble. Gets back to the 50, 45, right side 40. Buteau 35, 30. Buteau cuts back to the middle of the 25-yard line, dragging 2, 3, 4 defenders down to the 22. What an incredible return by Austin Buteau. Does a 27-yard return, but he ran 127 yards.
Yeah, that was an impressive return right there by Austin Buteau. My favorite block through that whole thing was for Benedictine, coming from Tyler Wilson. The outside linebacker got down, and it looked like he was going to get another blindside block. You know what he did? He threw up his hands, turned sideways, and just got in the way of the defender. A great job by the Raven kick return unit, 2 weeks in a row, getting big returns.
BC is going to go to Damon Weigand as the running back on this possession, probably the final possession of the opening half. 2.5 minutes to go before the break. Back to throw. Garrett Kittle rolling left. Lots of time. Steps up. Now he's going to be dropped. And he got his head snapped back as he cruises up there and just took too long.
Right there, Michael Knack on the tackle, a sophomore. Linebacker four. Clark, 2:15 left here in the first half.
Waiapahu, Hawaii is the hometown of Michael.
All those vowels.
Got to
pronounce them all.
Got to pronounce them all. Second down, 13-14 for Benedictine. Now at the Clark 27-yard line. We're inside 2 minutes to go in the half. Garrett looking over the middle, and that pass is going to be batted to the ground looking for Trey Adger.
We've got a penalty over here on the near side.
Is that over in front of the BC bench? I'm just not spotting that.
Yeah. I wouldn't have known it if I didn't see it come out of his pocket.
We'll get a call here, maybe.
Illegal shift to the offense. Number 7 and number 10 both moving at the same time. 5-yard penalty.
You know, for the Ravens, they'll probably take that. I mean, they'd rather be 5 yards back and have another down, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point.
here's the deal. I don't know how close they got to be in field goal range. I'm taking that immediately. It's off the table.
Okay.
See, and Clark was clever.
Wait a second. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's make a third down.
Absolutely. Yes.
For Tegan Trammell this season, he is 0-for-2 on field goal opportunities, and is what now 10-of-11 coming into today's ball game has already missed a PAT today.
So he is what 14-of-16 then. Something like that. Here we go. Third down, 13 for Benedictine. I got to get this thing all the way down to the 13-yard line. Garrett Kettle looking to draw a hard count.
He did.
There's markers. Did he get him to move?
Yep. He got the far side cornerback to come up.
He was barking hard and then stopped and then did it a second time, just giving it the best effort.
Offside,
there.
Offside, number 0 on the defense. 5-yard penalty.
Okay, so you get a bit of that yardage back. And now it is third down and less than 10. So third down at about 9 yards from the 22.
Penalty, third down and 9.
Ravensby, again, he's trying to hard count him, and he'll go back to throw. Steps up, he's running, he's in trouble, gets away at the 20, comes to the right side, Kettle at the 15, and then dives forward, but as he gives himself up, will pick up the first down. What do we got? Something else going on across the way?
Yeah, we got an official trying to separate a wide receiver and a cornerback over there.
Why is I miss the good stuff, huh? A minute 43 to go. Ravens quickly back up over the football. We're approaching the midpoint of the game. BC leading at 34-0. Wigan is going to be now behind the quarterback. Tight end swinging to the left side is Reed Levi. Handoff is going to go to Damon. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. He's at the goal line. Touchdown, Ravens! Give it to Damon Wigan. The 5'9" junior running back, and Benedictine extends its lead. It is 40-0, and we've got a PAT coming up, and we're not even halfway through.
So Damon Wigan gets his first touchdown of the season. To go back and look into the archives, it might be his first touchdown as a Raven.
We need a holder. We've got a kicker. We've got blockers. And now suddenly, the quarterback says, whoa, wait a minute. Here comes Garrett. That was great. It's Tegan Trammell, it's Tegan Trammell. Tegan comes running over to the sideline saying, give me somebody. Here we go. It's down and up. And did he get that one through? He did. We're taking a break, Joseph, with a minute 25 to go. We're approaching halftime in Atchison. All Ravens. Benedictine now 41 and Clark nothing.
Are you confused about the stock market? Feel like you are taking too much risk? Do you just feel lost at times on what to do? If you are looking for investment guidance in these uncertain times, Hamada Wealth Management is here to assist you. They believe it is important to not just make money, but preserve it. To schedule your no-cost income and retirement planning review, call Brandy at 928-443-7536 or search online at Hamada Wealth Management. Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC, Hamada Wealth Management Group, and IFG are unaffiliated entities.
Amberwell Health grew right here in Northeast Kansas when Atchison Hospital rebranded with a vision to connect their communities and their care. That vision continues with Hiawatha Community Hospital joining the Amberwell family as Amberwell Hiawatha. Amberwell Health now includes 2 complete care locations, Amberwell Atchison and Amberwell Hiawatha, and 5 clinic locations in Atchison, Horton, Highland, Leavenworth, and Troy. Together, Amberwell continues to serve their community and their patients, combining knowledge, resources, and a dedication to provide clinical excellence and compassionate care.
And here comes the Raven kickoff specialist, Cullen Bruner, to boot it away. Return men are back at the 5-yard line. They've had returns on the last couple of kicks, and this one is going to be quite returnable as well. Fielded at the 2 and dropped. He looks around, goes back and picks it up in the end zone, comes up the middle, hit at the 3, hit at the 2, cuts to the right side, crosses the 5, the ball is loose, and who's got it? 3 guys diving for it. They went headlong, and the Ravens have it at the 1-yard line. The return man just lost the ball, and Gus, one of the blockers down there on the kick return, he was flying through the air. Looked like Superman, but give Kyle Rowland for the Ravens another redshirt freshman. That fumble recovery, And Benedict is going to punch another one in before halftime. Wow. We got a player a little bit shaken up for Clark near that point of tackle. There were bodies flying all over the place on that return, but the problem all started when the return man took his eye off the ball down by the goal line and lost it for a moment.
It's so Roland had cut in front of the return man, and he landed in the end zone. And Roland kind of gets up, and as he turns around, he realizes the ball is on the ground, dives for it, and the Ravens are going to have this thing first and goal at the 2.
They're taking a moment and attending to one of the Clark players down there along the near sideline. We're going to hang on to it right here, Joseph. I don't think it's perhaps going to be a very extended kind of a examination, as now the young man is on his feet and making his way off the field to the far sideline. And the Benedictine offense getting a few extra moments. Because right now, the way Benedictine is playing and the way Clark has got his back up against the wall, the question is not, are they going to score? It's like, how many plays and who gets to carry it in this time? Minute 12 to go in the half, 41-0. What's the most points Benedictine has scored in a half? Because they will not get 50 in this half, but they're going to get pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, it would probably be that Avila game.
Maybe.
At Avila. You know, might have been the Graceland game here where they then rebroke the record for most points.
Here comes the BC offense. John Capron out there. Raymond Escobedo out of Mesquite, Texas. An old Skeeter. He's going to be your left guard. Another redshirt freshman. I got Zion Mathias is your center on the line. Clayton Mordecai. 6'4", 305 is the Raven right guard. So BC's got a very talented offensive line, and here they go. It is first and goal from 2 yards out. They're going to shift over to the left side. The handoff is going to go to Wigan. Touchdown, Ravens. Damon Wigan on back-to-back plays, back-to-back touchdowns. It is now 47-0. And, yes,
17
Garrett
seconds.
Is going to stay out there to hold. I'm going to give him a hard time about this.
17 seconds separate the scores for Damon Wigan. A 7-yarder and now a 2-yard touchdown run. And in for the PAT, is it going to be Cullen?
I don't know. Cullen doesn't normally kick these, but let's see. It is on its way, and it is Cullen, and it is no good. And we're taking a timeout. Taking a break here in Atchison. Down to 1:08 to go before intermission. It is now Benedictine 47, Clark nothing.
It's back to school and also to the seasonal routines filled with school time errands and activities. Hi, this is Dr. Brian Casey of Union State Bank of Atchison and also a part-time college educator. As we get busier, Union State Bank makes keeping up with banking convenient and easy. With mobile banking, you can bank wherever you are, and you can pay bills and make transfers online and much more. With text alerts and our new budget bubbles, you'll stay right on track with Union State Bank no matter how busy life gets. NMLS number 654946, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
The Fall Blizzard menu is here at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill. The fall menu includes sea salt toffee fudge, Reese's Pieces cookie dough, Oreo mocha fudge, Choco dipped brownie, and the Royal Ultimate Choco brownie. And the featured September Blizzard of the Month is both the Pumpkin Pie Blizzard and the Pecan Pie Blizzard. It's all at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill.
Off high, and again, it is returnable fielded this time at a 6-yard line by Spate. 10-15, right side 20, into the crowd and down to the 24-yard line. So, Kenneth Spate, nice little return, tackled by the Ravens freshman Caleb Taylor. Gus, it's like so different to say freshman, redshirt freshman. And we're seeing a lot of that on both teams tonight.
There's been quite a few of those today for the Ravens. I mean, if you even look beyond that, you've got a lot of sophomores that are playing for Benedictine.
Now the officials having a word with Kenyon Williams that calls him up, and we're back to play. It is Clark football. We got a new running back in here. I'm trying to pick up his number, 26. Wraparound handoff is going to go to the new running back. He is hit at the line of scrimmage, and Jalen James makes short work of the first carry of the afternoon for Sean Cesar, the sophomore out of Sulphur, Louisiana.
For Cesar, that's going to be his first carry of the season. They've only had three guys that have carried the ball, Elmore, Egan, and Faust.
It is a second down 10 call from their own 25-yard line for the Pride. Half a minute to go. This very easily could be the final play of the opening half. Long look to the far sideline. What do you do if you clock? Do you throw one deep? You just, like, hand it off in the middle? Do you fall down?
Yeah,
what do you
fall
do?
Down. Get to half.
They're going to hand off to Cesar. He'll go right. He'll get to the line of scrimmage, and he will be stood up with no gain, and that will take us to intermission. It's halftime at Atchison, in Kansas. We'll be back to summarize it for you. Hold on. We're also going to have a great halftime interview with Benedict and Eric Simonich. And we look forward to bringing all of that to you. They're stopping this thing with 7 seconds, and we have a player down on the far side. Are they going to let this thing run? Are they going to get a playoff? Well, tell you what.
I would have thought they would have just left it running and said, hey, let's go to the break.
We're going to do it. We're going to go to the halftime again. Intermission score in Atchison, Benedictine, 47, Clark, nothing.
Taco John's has a new value menu. Their value-est menu brings in premium ingredients like bacon and guac without the premium price. With options starting at just $1, you won't find value like that anywhere else. Chicken Bacon Ranch Loaded Potato Olays, just $3. Chicken Bacon Guac Street Tacos, just $2. Chicken Snack Quesadillas, just $1. Find these deals and more and an open lobby at Taco John's in Atchison. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better.
Have you met your local Farmers Insurance agent, Sandra Trumpeter? She proudly serves Atchison County families and businesses and is ready to review your existing policies or provide a no-obligation quote today. Call Sandra Trumpeter Agency at 913-367-3232 or stop in today at 312-COMMERCIAL to get smarter about your insurance. Again, that's Sandra Trumpeter Agency at
913-367-3232. We are Farmers. Bum,
welcome back to Atchison, Kansas. We're Wilcox Stadium here on the beautiful Benedictine campus. And Gus, the Ravens, and we talked about it briefly in pregame, the Ravens needed a statement win here this afternoon, and they are well on their way to having exactly that.
Yeah, right now Benedictine just kind of doing whatever they want in the first half. They've got 47 points, 7 touchdowns on 9 possessions. So, yeah. Not bad. One punt, one fumble at the 8-yard line, or else you could have more points in the first half. Benedictine with 313 yards of total offense today.
By the way, that's more offense than they had at Peru last Saturday.
Yeah, so last Saturday at Peru, they ran 50 plays. Today they've already run 41. They had 313 yards today against Peru, only 275 yards of total offense. So
I remember it was under 300 yards of total offense last week.
Yeah, so Coach Osborne's got to be happy with a lot of those things.
Now, remember in the pregame, Coach said, you know what, big deal for him in the red zone. Last week they were, what, 1-for-4 in the red zone? Well, he said we got to work on that.
Yeah, and today in the red zone, the Ravens 6-of-7. The one that they didn't score on was that fumble at the 8-yard line. I think if you're looking for something to maybe draw back on in the first half for the Ravens, you're 1-of-3 on third down.
But only 3 third downs with all of those yards.
Yeah.
So there's worth of yardage just getting picked up. Tell you what, we're going to take a bit of a break. The teams are exiting the field. It is Stars and Stripes Day here at Benedictine College, honoring the people in service. That's it. Stick around. Fantastic interview coming your way. Halftime score. Benedictine 47, Clark nothing. We're kicking it back to Joseph in the Care Sports Studio.
Your Raven halftime is brought to you by Taco John's. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better. The Raven fan feature is up next here on KAIR 93.7.
Taco John's has a new value menu. Their value-est menu brings in premium ingredients like bacon and guac without the premium price. With options starting at just $1, you won't find value like that anywhere else. Chicken Bacon Ranch Loaded Potato Olays, just $3. Chicken Bacon Guac Street Tacos, just $2. Chicken Snack Quesadillas, just $1. Find these deals and more and an open lobby at Taco John's in Atchison. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better.
We've got Eric Simonich with us, member of the Benedictine Raven 01 team. First of all, Eric, it is so good to talk to you, man. How's it going?
Good, Tom. How are you guys?
We're great. Let's kind of do the quick Eric bio, okay? Hometown okay. High school football team. Tell me about it.
I went to Shawnee Northwest, the Cougars down there over in Shawnee. We actually lived in Kansas City, Kansas. So we were in the dot, and we kind of transferred over there to school. So pretty tough sledding, you know, big school, 6A, you know, playing some of the bigger teams on the east side of the state here. But I really only played, I only lettered my senior year. We had a guy in front of me that played kind of the same position, center and defensive end, and he went to Nebraska. So that kind of led to me, you know, my senior year, getting the opportunity to play a little bit more. So that's kind of the high school beat.
Was your team good your senior year?
Mm-hmm. We had a good year our junior year. We weren't too bad. I think we won one game in the playoffs my senior year, but we weren't too bad. I was selected, you know, played with some of the other great names. In high school, we played the Mocan battle, right? So I think Scott Ziller and, you know, from our team, I think we had Tom Duncan on the Missouri side and McAllister. He was on the Missouri team. So was able to be selected and kind of play that game. You got to know people. We had some other people that I kind of played with, too, as we went down the junior college road. That game kind of find out later. So.
Now, you didn't come directly, though, to Benedictine out of high school, right?
Correct, yep. So I remember getting, you know, as we played the senior year, getting some offers. I remember vividly kind of Coach Wilcox actually coming down and sitting in our locker room kind of thing and talking to us about, you know, the pitch to come to Benedictine, but not playing that much. I didn't have that many offers that I was really interested to and didn't really know, honestly, if I wanted to commit to, you know, playing 4 years more of football. I love the game, but I had the opportunity. I went down to Fort Scott and played down there, and we were a pretty beat up team the freshman year. I think we were 2-7, and then we ended up actually going to a bowl game, the Mineral Water Bowl, which I know they still kind of, you know, have around, and it's gone through some different divisions. But we ended up playing in that game my sophomore year, which was good. And you played with a lot of different talented people. You know, Bobby Pesavino, he was the quarterback for Colorado that led those guys when they were still kind of back in the Big 8, Big 12, when they went out and played Oregon. He was our quarterback down there. So we had some pretty good stars that you kind of, you know, capped or played against. You know, back in the day, those Kansas JUCOs were pretty powerful.
I was going to say the Jayhawk League, man. I mean, let's be real. There's nothing tougher, nothing better than them football-wise.
Right, right. And especially at that time, too, I think, Tom, you know, was a big thing, and they've kind of gone against it and changed it a little bit. I mean, but you were only as good as the Kansas players you had on your team. They had a 53-man roster, and you could only have, say, 10 of the out-of-staters. Now they've kind of gone away with that and done that. And kind of, you know, I probably wouldn't have played because you've had so many of these other people that transferred in. At that time, you were really only as good. You know, you could have five receivers or just different people on offense from out of state. You know, there were some talented athletes, but you still needed the bulk of your team to be good, big Kansas kids.
Well, we've got Eric Simonich with us visiting here at halftime. And, Eric, you came into the 2001 season. That was your first year at BC, right?
My first year, we played the 2000.
Okay.
So I would have graduated. I got up early. I left Fort Scott in after the 99 season and was able to transfer in. I had some high school college credits and transferred in to Benedictine in the spring then of 2000. So I was ready for the 2000 season and then played the 2001 season.
So you were on back-to-back NAIA playoff teams on both of those clubs. I mean, that 2000 team that, you know, was what, 10-1 before that last game at Northwestern, and then, you know, in 01, we're going to talk about that more too, but you were on some fabulous teams.
yeah, I mean, I think they're still, you know, that 2000 team was kind of fun to get into. I think, you know, they had realized it, knowing that when Coach came down and kind of recruited, especially at a high school, you know, they had won, I think, the 98 and the 97, I think, conference championships, and then they had lost it there in 99. I think they were maybe 5-5 overall. So, you know, they kind of brought in a lot of JUCO transfers. I mean, there were a lot of guys that came in and filled some very important roles on that 2000 team. And that defense was pretty stout, like you said, going 10-1 and then turning it back around the next year, you know, seeing them going 12-2. We were flying around making plays, that's for sure.
And let's focus now on that, the 01 season, because that's the one that's getting, you know, recognition. 20 years. First of all, how did that happen 20 years ago? Were you sure it wasn't like three?
Yeah, it definitely feels kind of funny. I think, you know, we came up and were able to be there that opening weekend. We're fortunate enough kind of living up here in Omaha, but it's about a 2.5-hour, 3-hour drive down. So we were able to be there and kind of see all, you know, your old teammates and whatnot. And, you know, I think we had a couple kids come over to the tailgate, and they were like, they look, you know, kind of the older guys. And we're like, okay. And they're like, what year did you guys graduate? And they're playing. And they're like, 2001. And we're like, man, that's the year we were born. And they're just like, okay.
That's it. We don't want to hear any more of that.
We're getting up there a little bit.
Now that the campus certainly has changed, there have been a lot of additions since you were there with buildings and stuff. But maybe the most impact for you would have been the turf on the field. You had grass.
Right.
Would you like to play it on turf, or would you? Are you glad that you didn't?
You know, I think there were a couple. I think we played Lindenwood, you know,
right,
on a turf. And that was turf. You know, I always just preferred kind of playing on grass. You know, you'd end up going down to Central Meth, and that grass would be, you know, above your ankles at sometimes, or just a mud pit, you know, if you got a game or sometimes. But I honestly, like, just, I guess, as a preference, I never really cared to play on turf. It was kind of cool because nobody had it at that time. You know, and maybe that would be vice versa for kids these days that play a lot of their games on turf and don't know what it's like to still hit on grass, and they assume it's just their practice field where they can still play on some of those turf fields. But I enjoyed playing on the grass.
First round playoff game in that 2001 year, everybody will remember it for a single play, but there was a whole lot more. As you guys had that Northwest Oklahoma State team up here in town, they were so good that game was incredibly hard fought all the way.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I remember, you know, lining up and going through, you know, the week of preparation and seeing some of the athletes and some of the plays, you know, from their film and the plays they were making. And it was kind of hard to see, you know, how we were going to stop these guys or shut these guys down. And, you know, I think on that, especially for us on the defense, you know, we had a couple bumps and hiccups, but I mean, when it came time to kind of hold the rope, you know, I think we had passed the deflection that game. I think that I had, you know, topped off, and we got an interception off of it and came down the field and scored. So, I mean, just playing those guys, those were big boys, not quite as big as we saw at the end of the season there with the Sioux Falls guys, but those were some big, fast guys that came up. And I mean, it was a tremendous battle. I mean, you go through, you know, the heart at least both those years, and you never know who you're really going to get or go up against and kind of figure they're kind of the same as you. But you start, normally don't play, they come up and, you know, they've got some different speed or some different, you know, people or people on their team that can do some different things. It's a fun matchup to kind of get in there and make sure you focus and get ready for the week.
People talk a lot about offense, but defense, I mean, particularly in the Northwest Oklahoma State game, and then the kind of, I always called it that revenge game, because you'd lost that one game earlier in the season to Evangel. You only lost in the regular season, and to get a chance to go back and play them a second time down at their place in a hard-fought game and maybe the windiest game I've ever been to.
Yeah, that game was nuts. You know, and it was a weird time for maybe a lot of us, or especially for me, because we were playing over that Thanksgiving break. So I think we had practice on Wednesday, and Coach kind of cut us loose. So we went home, and I took some of the other players that were kind of staying there that were from out of state. You know, we went down and had Thanksgiving, came back up, got on the bus, went down there. And, yeah, that game was very, very windy. I mean, that was a big part of it. I mean, we had some key turnovers there. I mean, you know, whichever team had the direction with the wind, I mean, God, there was that long fourth down punt that we got. Brock Schwartz, I think, took it down the sideline, and that was going into the wind. You know, so we were able to kind of go down there and score, I think, like right before half. And then you get just key turnovers from people. I mean, that was our kicker, I think, that came in, Craig Thorpe, right? We had a fumble recovery that led us to, you know, more points right after we just scored there in the fourth. So, I mean, It was a huge game. It was a great, great battle. And like you said, it's a big revenge game to kind of go up against those guys again, knowing that they kind of took something from us and we were able to go back and get them.
Talk about some of your teammates. I suspect that particularly in this day and age of social media where it's easier maybe to kind of keep track of some of your old chums, do you guys still talk? Do you still have some guys that you still stay in relatively close contact with?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, coming in, you know, again, we said we had, you know, a lot of the transfers kind of came in, right? So you had some freshmen, sophomore there that had already made their relationships and stuff. We still had some of those good guys. You know, I mean, Jake Miller, you know, he's a great guy. I see Jake a lot. He comes up here because he's kind of from Omaha. We came up and watched his kid play baseball when they were up here, right? So we just took my kids over and hung out and watched them play ball. So we talked to Jake a lot. John Bogner, you know, work as a tandem. We still both work for Budweiser. And, you know, we talked to him. Craig Thorpe, as I kind of mentioned, the kicker. We actually just had our two families all together, the three of us, went down to the lake over the summer. And it had been a while since, you know, we kind of saw each other down at the national championship game. But to have, you know, the wives and the children kind of interact was definitely kind of fun, you know, to see everybody hang out. So,
at what point in the season, or did you go into the season thinking, you know what, we're just pretty decent and we've got a shot, we've got a chance to make a real run at this? Was there that kind of a feeling that permeated in the team, or did it kind of develop as the year went on?
I think it kind of developed, right? I mean, you know, we came in, 2001 was a goofy year. We got Coach Wilcox back down onto the sideline, right, from 2000, because he was up there and he had full vocal shoulders. So he was back down on the sideline kind of with us. We kind of had got out of the gate, I think, three or four games, which included September 11th, obviously enough. That was during that time of playing Avila, kind of right after that game. Then you lose to, you know, Randall at home. Turn around, and I think we played a couple more games. And then it turned into, you know, after that, that's where we knew. The big game was that homecoming game against Mid-America. They were ranked, I think, fifth and hadn't lost the game yet. So we took care of business kind of in that game. And then turned that around, and that was Tape homecoming. I think he was coaching at Colville Stockton, you know, and he came over, and we ended up playing those guys. And that was a tough, tough offensive team as well to match up against. So I think once you got past that initial loss and probably got into that anger with all the other distractions and kind of everything that was going on that season, it turned out to be a good year where we kind of figured it out. You know, we didn't like losing. We, you know, it didn't sit really well with us. We tried to keep it going and do everything we could to kind of keep that run going.
You mentioned Coach Wilcox after the shoulder injury, and he had been up in the booth for the year previous to that, now on the sideline.
Right.
During practice, and I always love going to practice, particularly I like at the end of practice, guys huddle up around him. And I mean, you talk about some inspirational things. There have to be some things that he talked to you about and some lessons that he tried to impart on you and your other teammates that have really stuck and have really, I would suspect, make an impact on you even today.
Yeah, he was a great leader. I mean, besides, I think, you know, every single time he mispronounced my last name wrong, and I don't know if he started doing that on purpose just to get at me, but you would hear him just yelling across the thing at practice, you know, Simovich, get over here. And I'm like, okay, well, that was a little closer, I guess, this time. But, you know, he was great. He, one of the funny stories, when I kind of put in, he was kind of going through, and he said, when he came over, we were stretching over nine. He's like, what number do you want? I said, oh, I was number 70 in high school. He said, well, that's taken. I said, okay, that's, how about number 71? He goes, nope, that's what I wore at Fort Scott. He said, nope, that one's taken too. I said, fine, well, we'll just flip it back in and I'll wear 17. And he looked at me kind of like I had two heads. You know, you want to wear number 17 and play defensive line? I said, yeah, sure, why not? And he's like, okay, well, good luck with that. And, I mean, it was just great, you know, just some of the banter that he kind of would come back and forth with. You know, he was more offensive and you'd hear him, but, you know, he was the offensive line coach, so we'd go with one-on-ones and mash heads with some of those big boys. They'd always kind of be calling me out, trying to find me for, you know, the run blocking drills, because they knew they could kind of move me. But when it came to pass blocking, I was definitely up there in the front of the line trying to get around those guys. So. But he was great. He did a lot of good things for us.
And you were under Coach Gartenmeier, the defensive coordinator, and, gosh, yep. Such a soft-spoken guy. I mean, you'd hardly ever get anything out of him, right?
He was very... very, very intense. You know, you can see it, and you kind of hear him sometimes from the sidelines. But between those locker room doors, There's some pretty crazy things that got you guys fired up. I mean, we would sit there as a defense and kind of get ready before we came out and warmed up. That coach would kind of have a different thing each week for us to get fired up, be it listening to man in the mirror or just, you know, firing everybody up. It was pretty impactful.
You talked about your career briefly just a moment ago. Is you working with AB and, you know, John?
Yep.
I guess he's still down in Dodge, maybe, you know,
yep,
for them.
Correct.
And,
yep.
And that said, it leads me to the Benedictine experience beyond football, the education you get there, and maybe even some of the contacts that you make and the people that you meet and those things that you nurture. Very, very important as life goes on. I mean, it's not just all in the books. It's not just all on the field. It's a bigger experience than that.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, people talk about just different awards and accolades, and one that I, you know, just kind of bring up just personally to myself is the times I was there. I was, you know, all conference, but I was academic all conference, right? Like books and studying came first, right? There was no doubt about that. That was instilled, you know, by my parents. That grades were important, right? And then building relationships and saying, hey, you can be successful and go out and you know, make that phone call and say, hey, you know, I'm going to come out to Denver and try to start working, you know, in the beer, making contacts and people that you could rely on. And that goes for, you know, all of Raven Nation that decides to reach out. You know, you build friendships or you hear something that somebody might need a hand. I mean, Raven Nation is pretty powerful that you know, they're always willing to lend a hand and know what it's about. And, you know, just being in the office at the time there was great. Loved it, and the relationships that you build, you know, continue to last a lifetime.
With all those things said, young guys on the team now, I mean, I certainly got to meet some of them when you were back on week one, but is there any, now that you're 20 years out, any advice that you'd impart on them?
I'd say my biggest thing, at least that kind of led me to that, is do the simple things, right? Do the little and the small things that go unnoticed, and you'll be rewarded kind of in the long run for it, right? It's just hard work at the end of the day that makes you better. And, you know, don't take a play off, don't take a rep off, don't take a study session off, right? Like, you gotta put it all together and kind of put your head down and go to work, and it'll pay off in the long run is what I would leave them with.
Well, Eric, it certainly has paid off, I think, for you professionally. It certainly paid off very clearly for you and your teammates at Benedictine with wonderful years and great memories. And in coach's defense, Semenich, not easy to say, especially if you're going fast.
Yes, 100%. No doubt. No, I appreciate the time. Like you said, we kind of moved around a lot. Love listening to you guys. You know, on the radio, we live in Colorado. So you keep doing a great job on the radio, and we'll stop by the booth and see you next time we're done.
Eric, we look forward to it. Thanks so much for the time, man. Appreciate it. Go Ravens!
Thanks, Tom. Go Ravens.
The second half is moments away. Thanks for listening to this week's Raven Fan Feature on the Taco John's Halftime Show.
And we welcome you back to Wilcox Stadium here on the Benedictine College campus. Both teams have come out of the locker room and getting set to go to the second half, and our intermission score has the Ravens well in charge, 47-0 BC out front. Joseph in the studio, great work at halftime, Joseph, thank you. Gus Counts with me here, Tom Counts. Gus, man, I don't know, Ravens at halftime, what do you talk about? It's like, just keep this up, don't stop now?
Yeah, don't stop now, you're having fun, right? 47-0 right now, and I think that when you're in the locker room and the coaching staff is telling the players, hey, in the second half, don't lose focus, I think that's probably the biggest message that you tell both of those teams is, again, continue to stay focused in the second half, don't get yourself hurt, and keep a clean game, right? You don't want to see a whole bunch of penalties start to kick up for you. So for Benedictine, this is going to be a tough second half in the sense of, you're just trying to keep your composure and get out of here.
Yeah, you want to stay, as you say, stay composed. You want to stay focused. And maybe if you're one of those young guys who's wanting to show coach that I've got more than I think he realizes, maybe you're going to get a chance here as this thing unwinds a little bit.
And if you're Clark, I mean, you've got Benedictine this week, and you're going to turn your attention right after today, right? Throw the film away. Don't even watch it. Next week, you're going to be at least back home.
Yeah, with Baker University.
games going on around the conference. How about last night? Evangel over William Penn, 28-14. Right now, Central Methodist with 9 minutes left in the third quarter, leading Graceland 37-0. Baker out on top of Peru State, 20-3 with 7.5 left in the third quarter. At the 9:20 mark of the third quarter, Culver Stockton, 42-0 on Missouri Valley. And Grandview leading Mid-America with 3 minutes left in the first half, 27-8.
Okay, so some of the teams in this conference I've got figured out. There are a couple three that I still haven't quite gotten a handle on yet. I'm still can't quite figure out Peru State. I can't quite figure out Missouri Valley. I mean, I don't know. Don't know quite what to expect. I don't know what to expect from Grayson and Central Methodist. I got that figured out.
Yeah, Central Methodist, though, putting together a good start to the season, but again, winning the games that they're supposed to, right?
Yeah. Ravens winning this one, they'd like to think they're supposed to. We're getting set to go to the third quarter, 47-0. Benedict then in the Ravens kick return unit comes out on the field. Trey Adger is on the far side. Austin Buteau is on the near side. And for the Pride, it will be Anthony Gomez getting set to put a toe to the football. Ravens are going to be going from left to right across your dial here in the third quarter. Benedictine in the black home jerseys, black helmets, red pants, white numerals and trim for Clark. It is white on white with black and gold. Here's the kickoff, and it is sidewinding and high and long and out of bounds at the back of the end zone. The Raven offense comes out on the field. So for Benedictine, it'll be first and 10 at their own 25-yard line. We're getting set to go to the first play of the third quarter. Neither of these teams looks like they got a lot of, what do you call it, pep in their step as they come out over the come out onto the field right now. It's got to be, it's hot out there.
Yeah, and I think here in the second half, and I was just going to say this, and I look up and it happens. This would be a good time to get a, you know, a long look at Drake Prey. I'll also be interested to see how long Garrett Kettle plays in the second half.
Well, Kettle is out there at quarterback, and it is going to be the 6 foot sophomore, Drake Prey. Kettle is back to throw, throws one over the middle to Prey, breaks a tackle, and gets up to the 31-yard line. A short pitch and catch from Kettle to Prey, and Ravens have a second down, 4.
In on the stop right there, Adrian Tamayo for Clark.
Clark running a 52 right now. Here's a pass over into the left flat for a Prey. Has to reach way out. It was thrown way out in front of him, but he did a great job of extending the arms, makes the catch, and will just get enough to advance the chains at the first down. Ravens at the 35. First and 10, Benedictine. And the Ravens moving the football again to begin the second half. Trips right side. No one wide to the left, which is the short side of the field right now. Kettle pitches. Prey runs right, gets into the secondary, crosses the 40, 47, 48-yard line, a quick 8 yards. And there was not a lot of daylight, but he made the most of every bit of it and gets an 8-yard pickup on the first down run. Benedictine is going to switch receivers here. Adger will come out. Kadena comes back in for BC. And again, the Ravens stay with three receivers wide side. Kettle is back going deep for the home run and overshoots a wide open receiver, Jacob Gathright, downfield at the 15-yard line.
Didn't think you could outthrow Jacob Gathright, but that time Kettle just reared back, gave it everything he had, and, you know, Gathright was still, what, 2 good strides from that ball, so.
And he had drawn double coverage, but he was also 2 full strides in front of both of those defenders. It is for the Ravens a 3rd down 2 at the Benedictine 43-yard line. Running back behind the quarterback. They'll hand off to him at the tailback spot. He'll pick up a 1st down. Cut to the right side. Gets across the 45, 47, maybe 48-yard line. Prey having a very nice possession running the football.
That's a different running back.
No, it isn't.
Yeah.
It is not him, is it?
That's
going to be Jonah.
Jonah Roberts, a freshman. 6'185" out of Windsor, Missouri.
Don't know that one.
I was going to say, I'm not familiar with Windsor. To brush up on my...
Wait, I got it. Let me get my atlas out. I have it rolled up and tucked underneath the our workstation here. Rand McNally is my friend. Here's the first down call. A pass over the middle for Benedict, and it's going to be caught by Reed Levi. He's across midfield into Clark territory at the Pride 45-yard line, a gain of 7.
If you take WW Highway from Knob Noster,
just
right south of Windsor.
Okay. Well, he sees a lot of B2 action then. Here's a handoff straight ahead, only a yard, and a very hard-earned yard at that. It is now third down and a pair for BC.
So the Ravens are going to take out a couple receivers. They're going to bring Trey into the ball game. They're going to bring Harry Balky into the game, and they're also going to bring Jacob Gathright in.
Jonah Roberts. He is going to be the, sixth man to carry the football for Benedicton today. Third down and two. 12.5 to go in the third quarter. Ravens with a commanding 47-0 lead in this college football game. They'll go motion right. That's going to be Levi. He'll stand in as a blocker. The handoff to Prey. First down and more. 40, 35. He's going to score. Great Prey. Count it. 20, 10. 5 touchdown. Benedictine is on the board. And that's not Drake. That's Jonah Roberts again. There was a great call. I loved how they shifted Reed Levi over behind the tackle. He just provided a lead block into the middle of the line. And with a little bit of daylight, Jonah Roberts was off to the races. What a nice run. Jonah Roberts and Benedictine now goes in front 53-0. BC and Cullen Bruner going to get another crack at this PAT business. It is down and up, and he's got it. Taking a break, Joseph, as Benedictine continues to roll up points. First possession of the second half is 12-11 to go in the third. Ravens 54, Clark nothing.
Mueller's Locker Room is your sports bar for all seasons. Open at 11 a.m. daily, practicing proper social distancing. They are ready to safely serve you. If you aren't ready for the in-house dining experience just yet, it's okay. Mueller's will happily continue with curbside service. Give them a call at 913-367-2727 or see them at 120 South 2nd, in the dugout or on the deck. Let Mueller's be your locker room. Mueller's Locker Room, your sports bar for all seasons.
KAIR-FM, Horton, Atchison.
Atchison Auto Parts is your independent Napa dealer, locally owned and operated. Stop by and see faces you recognize that have been in the business for over 50 years combined. They are all car guys who care about getting you the right part for your passenger vehicle or heavy-duty parts for the big trucks. They carry a line of diesel engine parts, including turbos, injection pumps, and injectors for Duramax, Cummins, and Powerstroke engines. Atchison Auto Parts, 424 Woodlawn Avenue in Atchison.
Kickoff that is going to be fielded at the 10, and it is going to be returned to around the 25-yard line. Clark will have his first touch of the football in the second half, and Gus for Benedictine, 10 possessions today, right?
Yeah.
How they done so far? Would you say it's okay?
Yeah, 8 touchdowns, you're okay. Right? You're going to have to fumble inside the 8-yard line, and I'm sure that is going to be the one hang-up that Coach has week.
Oh, yeah.
And then one punt on your sixth possession.
You got to have something if you're the coach, right, to get after the guys about. 10 possessions, 8 touchdowns so far today for Benedict. And here's a pass cleared over to the near side, but it took forever to develop, and tremendous coverage by the Ravens. First it was Bloomquist, and then it was Morris. And we've got another Clark guy who's going to be slow to get up, and we're going to take a timeout. The break at 11:55 to play in the third. BC all over Clark, 54-0.
Whether it's normal automotive maintenance like oil changes and wiper replacement, or more serious repairs like starters and alternators, Atchison Auto Parts is your local stop for everything you need to keep your vehicle running at peak performance. Locally owned and operated, you'll recognize the car guys behind the counter, and they'll get you the right part. They carry a line of diesel engine parts, including turbos, injection pumps, and injectors for Duramax, Cummins, and Powerstroke engines. Atchison Auto Parts, your independent Napa dealer at 424 Woodlawn Avenue in Atchison.
Once upon a time, in 1856, there was a small community bank that really valued their customers and worked very hard to serve them. This hometown bank continued this practice year after year. It grew and prospered, and more people became customers. After 165 years, it has remained a strong and secure financial organization. All this time, it never lost sight of what made it strong, their customers. Come and bank happily ever after with Exchange Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
Returning to Atchison, Kansas, where we're early on in the third quarter. Benedictine has already scored one time, and here in the second half, leading now 54-0. A Clark player comes to his feet. He was a lead block over here on the near side. That's Jorge Alvarado. He was a guy who was getting out in front, trying to get a lead block off, and instead ends up banged up, and they will help him across the way. College football this afternoon on KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison. Raven defense has been... Well, they've been pretty good today, guys, actually. Been really, really stingy. As Clark has rushed for, 49 yards and have thrown for 100. So still not 150 yards, and we're in the third quarter of total offense.
Yeah, defensive coordinator Caleb Cook's got to be okay with some of those numbers today.
Yes, absolutely. It is a second down eight. It's going to take just a little bit as Alvarado goes off across the way. And again, he was a lead block on that play, but he's an important cog in their offense, the number two receiver on their team coming into the game this afternoon. Now, he still doesn't have a ton of yards. I mean, the number two receiver on a team that likes to run the ball has five catches on the season.
But you talk about how they like to run the ball, yet they threw the ball 24 times in the first half.
It's because they've been trying to come from behind, I think, a great deal of the time, and we talk about it all the time. When you throw the ball that much, if you are not successful, you run very little time off and ultimately giving the ball back and giving your opponent more touches. Here's a handoff right side, Clark, and that's a big run. Picking up a first down across the 35 to the 36-yard line for Garrett Egan, who's back in. Brian Barrera with the stop for Benedictine. They will advance the sticks, and Clark has a first and 10. 11.5 to go in the third quarter. Unlike high school games around and teams and conferences around, there is no running clock kind of a rule here in the Heart of America Athletic Conference, just if you're asking about that. Here's a handoff, tailback, bounces left, 35-40, and ridden it down after a gain of seven. And right now, Gus Egan running really well.
Brian Barrera again on the stop for the Ravens. Coming into today's game, Brian, 14 tackles and has done nothing to hurt that here in the ball game.
Yeah, we heard a lot and saw a lot of tackles being made by Jolly Bloomquist, the freshman for Benedictine, in the early moments of the ball game. But Clark, I think, is maybe staying away from him a little bit. We haven't seen him quite so much. Now here's a quarterback running. Isaiah's chasing him. The pass downfield is incomplete, and the intended receiver lying on the ground at the 35-yard line is Estefan Perez out of San Antonio. It is incomplete, and third down three, Clark.
Yeah, I think in pregame, Clark probably saw, like, all right, number five shows up as a true freshman. Let's go after him. And then Javi Bloomquist answered the bell on the first two possessions, right? I mean, everything that came his way, he made sure he had the tackles, and then it was like, all right, so that's not the path of least resistance. Let's get back to a regular game plan, and they've kind of gone away from Bloomquist now.
Spencer Witt into the Raven defense on a third down three call. QB drops back a little more, fires one over the middle. It's going to be incomplete, out of the reach of his intended receiver. And it will be a fourth down. Interesting to call here. What is Clark going to do after the intended pass to Estefan Perez goes away?
So Clark punted the ball seven times in four quarters against Central Methodist last week. And they're going to bring the punt unit in for the seventh time already today.
And still, we have a long way to go in this. 10.5 to play in the third quarter. And Anthony Gomez is the kicker and punter. Benedictine has like four guys doing kicking, each one with a specific duty. Snap back is beautiful, but punt away is outstanding. It's high, it turns over, it bounces to three, and kicks out the back of the end zone as Buteau chases it. He was settling in around the 15-yard line, and that thing shot over the top of him.
Ian, there was no wind today, right?
Absolutely.
Very little to speak of right now, so it's not like that was a wind-aided kick. That thing bounded at the 15 and just shot out of the back of the end zone.
Okay, speculate for me. When do we see offensive player personnel changes for Benedictine? Right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
There it is.
Luke, right now. Luke Laskowski will come in as your quarterback for Benedictine. I think they got another running back or two and receiver or two as the Ravens giving some guys some looks. Luke is going to keep it himself, duck to the left side, hurdle a defender in a high-risk play, picking up 3 yards, going out of bounds into the far sideline, the Clark sideline at the 23.
Yeah, so the Ravens are going to be out there with Drake Prey. They also have Jashawn Todd was the other back. Now Todd will check out, and in is going to be Joe Withrow. Joe, the senior out of Gladstone, Missouri, one catch, 5 yards.
Three receivers wide side for the Ravens on a second down, six call. Benedictine at its own 24-yard line. Laskowski looks to the near side. Now hands out, takes a snap, face mask high, hands off running back, and can't drag a tackler. What a strong run by Drake. He's going to be up to just short of the first down, but around the 28-yard line, leaving his team with a third down and a couple. Benedictine third down, two. Jacob Gathright. He's already way wide over here to the near side. Gathright back here. Drake Prey to the right hand. Now switching over to the left hand of Luke Laskowski. And they're going to go to the same formation they scored on a moment ago. Here's the high snap. Straight ahead run. And an ankle tackle is made underneath by Brian Valdez.
Brian Valdez, a sophomore outside linebacker out of Florida City, Florida, by way of South Dade High School.
South Dade High School. I'm trying to remember what their mascot was. I used to go down there to the badminton matches.
South Dade High School probably has as many people in it as Clark College.
Yeah, probably more. On a fourth down, too, Benedictine is going to be punting the football away. A single return man is back for the Pride at the 35-yard line. It is high. It is in over end. It's going to be fielded at the 30. Little stiff arm breaks the first tackle straight up the middle of the 35, hit at the 40, and down to the 42-yard line. It was a very nice return for Brandon Mueller.
But
listen to
no,
the quarter. Isn't it Mueller?
No, it can't be Mueller.
Devin Spangler made the tackle for the Ravens.
There was one then. Must be. So that was maybe
Craig Elmore, but.
Okay, so. Well, here we go with the Clark offense back out on the field. We'll ask for your indulgence as these two teams are, I think, starting now to more liberally bring in additional players, guys who don't get a lot of chances. Here's a hand up into the right side of the line, and that's going to be Elmore. He's played a lot today, hasn't been able to be so real successful, and Joe Burke will make a tackle for Benedictine after the gain of a yard or two. Talking about running back Garrett Egan, 15 rushes for 65 yards. He is by far the leading rusher for Clark this afternoon.
Look at Clark taking lots of time right now. They're looking over to the far sideline. Offensive coordinator Aaron Christensen in his third season doesn't even send in the play until you get to about 15.
There is no rush for Clark. The slower they go, the better it is for them. Here's a handoff, trying the left side. Hit low, and then, as he slows down, driven back, Garrett Egan will he'll get up to around the 44-yard line, and it's third down eight.
That time, Jalen James was the first guy there able to wrap him up low. And then, of course, who came in to make the hit on the top? Tyler Tierney.
There you go. A great, great 1-2 punch for Benedictine. James and Tierney. Third down eight for Clark at their own 44-yard line, halfway through the third quarter. 7.5 minutes to play in the third here in Atchison, Kansas. Motion is going to go to the right side. Quarterback will turn, handoff. Egan will bounce outside. Chase Jalen catches it from behind, flips it to the ground for the loss of a yard.
Jalen James just chased that play down from behind, grabbed the running back by the shoulder pads. Garrett Egan had 5'6 and 160, just picked him up and threw him down. A nice play right there for the Benedictine defense, and Clark set to punt it for the eighth time today.
How good would Jalen be at that rodeo thing where you jump off the horse and grab the cow by the horns, you know, and flip him down? That's what he kind of did right here with this guy. Ran him down from behind. Clark's punting unit is out of a field now, and Gomez hits a line drive. It'll bounce at the 30, 25, 20, 15, and trickle into the end zone. A break for Benedictine, and Boutel followed it down the field, just hoping that thing was going to get across the goal line, and it did. 6.5 to go in the third quarter. Raven offense back on the field again, and again we're going to see Luke Laskowski.
Joe Withrow checking in for the Ravens. He's going to be slotted to the right.
And Prey will continue to be your running back. So sophomore quarterback, sophomore running back, and some young receivers out there. First and 10, Ravens at their own 20. Quarterback will keep it himself. Laskowski goes left side, runs into a blocker, and he's going to be able to get close to the 25-yard line. So give him a solid 4 on that carry for Luke. That is basically the same play that they began the previous series with, that little keeper and run to the outside by the sophomore quarterback. Second down, 6 for BC. This time they're going to have the running back to the right side of the quarterback, ball on the left hash mark. He's back to throw. Laskowski lobs one. A man wide open on the near flat makes the catch. Pete Cadena. Guys, that was a very alert job. Pete saw the pass was short, stopped, came back, kept his concentration, and by mere inches kept his feet in bounds and in the field of play to make that a valid catch. They'll advance the chains. First and 10, Ravens at the 34.
I think that was the impressive part of that catch. It's like he looked down, knew his positional awareness on the field, makes the catch inbounds, and then steps out of play. Over there, Aaron Fernandez, sophomore DB out of Mission, Texas, trying to be in coverage.
Now, no one in the backfield with Garrett Kettle. Straight back to throw. Bullet over the middle, caught. 40, 45, and another Benedictine first down. A nice catch on the crossing pattern. Joe Withrow, Mike Nanani with the stop. First and 10. Ravens will advance the sticks. See, what Luke is doing, guys, is what you talked about early in the ballgame, that short, intermediate kind of a pass. That's what he is being very successful with on this possession. Now you got 6 guys on the defensive front for Clark as they expect the run, and they get it, and Prey will go straight ahead, and still through all of that traffic, it's 5 up to the 50.
Drake Prey is a tough individual to bring down. Drake Prey, at 6 foot, 190-pound sophomore out of Tonganoxie, just lowers the head, pushes forward, and now it will bring up a 2nd and 5 for the Raven offense.
Drake is going to stay in there. Withrow comes wide to the right side, along with Zach Bierman. Zach out of Tomball, Texas. 2nd down, Ravens at the midfield mark. To the left. Now the quarterback will cut to the right. Throws over the top, and his receiver is not there. And the reason his receiver wasn't looking, it's the guard who is 10 yards downfield and nearly got hit in the back with a pass. This is an eligible downfield.
Yeah. See, and now you look over here on the near sideline, and Coach Osborne's trying to explain to Luke exactly how that play was supposed to run.
Yeah.
It ends the play downfield, number 61, 5 yards only, still 2nd down.
And here's the thing. Aaron Parks, pretty good-sized man out there. You're going to notice him when he gets into the defensive secondary. 6'2", 300-pound guy. And so no hiding him. 2nd down, 10 for Benedictine. Back now at their own 45-yard line. Clock running along with 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. Benedictine, 54-0 advantage. Now Luke back. Throws one, has his man caught at the 40, down to the 38-yard line. Nice job of finding Jacob Gathright. And a nice job by Jacob, who got banged up early in the ballgame, to have sprung back and gotten himself back into the game. Jacob Gathright with a nice catch, and it's another Raven first down. They'll spot him at the 39. And now Jacob will come out and get a breather for a play or so. We'll just go right back into Prey's hands. First down call.
Yeah, probably. Keep that clock rolling.
Now Prey's going to shift out of the backfield, take a wing left spot. Play block at five. Now back into the backfield. Now they'll hand it to Prey. He again goes right into the midst of the traffic, and the whole stack moves south as Prey drives forward for 5 yards.
Now Jonah Roberts is going to check in and give Drake a little bit of a breather.
They're going to mark him for a gain of four down to the 35-yard line, second and a half a dozen.
Alexander Chad.
That's as easy as anything.
Yeah, I like that. We can use that until next week and we can see what kicks there. Second down call. New quarterback warming up on the far side for Clark. Here's a handoff left side. Look out. Prey, 30, 25, 20. Gets his balance. And again, it's going to be not Prey, but Roberts. Jonah Roberts left side inside the 20-yard line. He's all the way down to the 18. What a run. And, guys, he did a tremendous job of just keeping his balance and keeping his feet to pick up all that yardage.
Jonah Roberts is going to come away from this game and look at that stat line and be really happy with
his
numbers.
Jonah again down to the 15-yard line. A quick four. And you know what it looks like to me? I mean, the feet and legs are moving so fast. I mean, he is just motion.
It's a pretty good-sized cat, right? 6 foot, buck 85.
Yeah. He's got good size, of course, standing next to Laskowski, who's 6'3". He's not towering, but, again, the handoff, he'll start left, cut right, then is met just as he crosses the line of scrimmage and will be halted this time for pretty much a short gain on the carry. 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. Clock mercifully rolling along here.
That time went on the stop. Ron Jones, a 5'7", 340-pound defensive lineman for Clark, out of Fairview, Illinois, by way of Robert Morris University.
Ravens have got Madison in and Balky in. And third down, six, BC, all the way down to the 15-yard line.
Ravens is going to utilize a timeout right here. They got too many guys moving around prior to the play.
Tell you what, are we going to hang on? Want to stick around?
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah, that time is what happened was you had two receivers out there. One wasn't sure which one was on the line. The other one wasn't really sure what the play was. And Coach Osborne just utilizing that timeout because he has it. Not going to need much of them today and just get everybody on the same page.
Here's the thing. You're one of these young guys, right? You get out on the field. You don't want the play just to, like, be a nothing play where you never had a chance. You might as well get everybody lined up into the right position so that you can actually try to, you know, to make that happen. And, again, I've got a number 85 out there that maybe you've got a better roster than I do because I don't have him. He's going to be very wide to the left side. Going to fill a slot with Reed Levi. You're going to go over to the right side here with Zach Bierman. Prey is your running back. And here comes Benedictine up to the line of scrimmage. Quarterback Luke Laskowski. Tight end Court Madison. Luke back to throw. Steps up in the pocket. He's going to run. No, he's still looking. Now we'll throw short. Caught at the 5-3-2-yard line. First and goal, Benedictine. I tell you what, Laskowski did not do what I expected him to do. He found Harry Balky. I thought he was just going to run with it. But he kept flirting around, staying behind the line of scrimmage and looking downfield, waiting for somebody to open up. Found his receiver, the freshman from San Diego, makes the catch. It is first and goal of the 2.
First and goal for the Ravens at the 2-yard line.
And now Benedictine is going to take a little time as the play clock is at a dozen, now down to single digits. Laskowski brings him up. Drake Prey is right behind him. And the handoff will go to Drake. Touchdown, Ravens! Drake Prey goes in from 2 yards out. And Benedictine has put up a 60 spot. It is 60-0, BC. Coming out of the field. I guess not only do I like Zach Filippi because he does a great job snapping the ball, but you know what? I like seeing a guy in the middle of the line wearing number 29. It's kind of nice. This time they're also going to let Laskowski hold on this play. and the kick is high. It's good. And we have a timeout. The PAT by Colin Bruner at 34 seconds ago in the third quarter. Benedictine 61. Clark nothing.
Hunley Liquor is the place to go for your favorite beverages. Stop by and check out their beer selection. They are carrying lots of new beers, and they always have cold ones ready to go. Also in stock is an array of seltzers, wines, and spirits, something for everyone. Stop by and check it out. You may find a new favorite. Hunley Liquor, 119 South 9th Street in Atchison. Hometown friendly, hometown helpful. That's Hunley Liquor.
Skyway Vapes has a new home. See them at 711 Commercial Street for your vaping products. They carry everything you need to get started on your journey to a healthier alternative to smoking, carrying products ranging from mini pod systems all the way up to intermediate mods. Check them out at their new location, 711 Commercial in Atchison. Still with those great hours, open 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 7 on Sunday. It's Skyway Vapes in Atchison.
Kickoff is very high and very short. Taking it to the 15-yard line. Clark return across the 25 and 29-yard line. Here comes the Pride. They're going to get one. Maybe depending, if they throw the ball, they'll get a couple of plays off. But if they run it, they may get just one play here in the final moments of the third quarter. 61 to nothing, Benedictine. And the Clark offense comes in mass off the far sideline and directly out over the football.
Did you say they were late for mass?
No.
It's only 3:22. It feels like it's 6 o'clock at night, doesn't it?
Got your new quarterback out there for the Pride. A handoff will go to the tailback. Caught from behind and brought to the ground. What a great defensive play by Benedictine. Ravens all over the place. This quarterback now is Malik Inabinet. That was Bloomquist with the tackle for Benedictine. Malik Inabinet is a 5'10 freshman from Montevallo, Alabama, as the third quarter comes to an end. We'll be back and talk a little bit more about him and bring you the fourth quarter here from Atchison, Kansas. But right now, after three, Benedictine 61, Clark scoreless.
Subway makes it their priority to serve you the delicious meals you love in the easiest and safest ways possible. Order in-store, online, or through the Subway app for carry-out service. And with so many sandwich and salad options, everyone in the family will be happy. Check out their fresh melts, signature wraps, protein bowls, and amazing salads at Subway under the 5th Street Viaduct in Atchison.
A wise investor once said, "The stock market is filled with individuals who know the price of everything, but the value of nothing." At Cottle Financial Group, we are committed to giving you the information you'll need to know the difference between value and price. Whether you need a second opinion on your portfolio or you have a rollover you need help with, give us a call to learn more at 367-2700, 367-2700. Registered representative of and securities offered through Berthel Fisher & Company Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
Well, as we return, first play of the fourth quarter is a sweep to the left side for Clark, and it's about as good as they've been for Clark. Picks up 2 yards, and a marker comes out late. That's probably a hold back here, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just, you know, in a 61-point game, go ahead and leave that thing in there, right?
As an official, isn't that one of the things you got to learn to do?
There we go. After discussion, no foul on the play.
I think that was a very well-resolved situation. Third and 8. Clark with the football at their own 30-yard line. Clark has hardly gotten across midfield today. What, a time or two maybe? Here's a third down call, and the quarterback on a little delay draw, tackled behind the line of scrimmage. No gain on the carry. For the Pride, Eric Chavez for Benedictine with a tackle.
We saw Chavez last week up in Peru, and he played really well. How about this? A 6'3", 290 freshman out of Lancaster, California.
Lancaster. Yeah. That was Sean Cesar, who was ultimately tackled for the loss of a couple of yards, and now on a fourth down 10. Once again, Clark will be kicking it away. We're going to see who's back there for Benedictine, and it is going to be Buteau. Snap is a little high, but hauled down. The kick is away. It is high. Turns over. Buteau makes a fair catch at the 41-yard line, and the Ravens will begin this possession with really, really good field position. Less than 10 yards from midfield. 13:50 to go in the game. 61-0, Benedictine. And not sure how much the boards are going to be a benefit at this juncture.
No, they haven't been a whole lot.
And for the Ravens coming out on the field and running the football, you're going to have... We're going to have Laskowski out there. Gathright is in the game wide right. There are five receivers. No one in the backfield with the quarterback. And play clock is at 5, 2, and now they're going to reset it. Now they're going to bring one of the receivers into the backfield. A little confusion. Now they may be checking this thing off along the line of scrimmage. That's Drake Prey in there. Drake will get the handoff, 40. Falls forward, 45, maybe 46. He'll get about 3 or 4 yards on that first down run.
Don't you really give Drake Prey and Jonah Roberts like 20 more rushes apiece and get out of here?
Absolutely. Run the ball. Run the clock. Run home with a win. Oh, no, it's as simple as that. Second down, 7. Here comes the BC offense at their own 45. Ravens with a huge lead here today. Long count, and QB passes over the middle. It's caught across the 50-yard line. Cutting back into the middle is Witherow. Joe's down to the 46. It is a Benedictine first down. And so the Ravens are going to give Luke Laskowski a chance to throw the ball around a little bit as Michael Knack makes that tackle.
Court Madison will check back in, and Court's a guy who like to see him throw the ball out a little more.
Kadena. Wide to the right side, El Paso, Texas. Eastwood High School in El Paso. Three receivers to the right side. High snap. Quarterback will throw on the run. He's got a man wide open, caught at the 35-yard line. It tripped up and slipping down after the catch is going to be Harry Balky.
Mm-hmm. No? 89, so it's Brandon Kane. Right? The 6'2" freshman out of Olathe North.
Okay. Ravens are going to move the chains down to the 33-yard line. It is 1st and 10, Benedictine at the Clark 33. Long count. Hand off to Drake. 30, 29, maybe 28-yard line. Hitting in the middle for the quick 5 yards. Clock is rolling, but it's still got a ways to go. We've still got 12 minutes left in the game today. And again, it's not been a really, really, really long game, but with all the scoring and all the offensive Benedictine has been able to provide this afternoon, it probably feels a little exaggerated. 214 passing yards for Garrett Kittle today on 20 of 27, passing the ball. Good afternoon. Snaps a little bit high. Laskowski goes up and gets it. Hands off Prey. Falls forward for maybe a couple of yards. As that was a nice tackle by Adrian Tamayo, one of the leading tacklers on this Clark defense. Third down, 5, Benedictine. Now, Prey will come out of the game for BC, and it is going to be Jonah Roberts back in there. Roberts is by far the taller of the two running backs. Looks like he's almost as tall as Laskowski, and Luke is big. Third down, 5, Benedictine inside, inside the 30-yard line. They'll throw it over on the left side. Here goes Jonah, 30, 25, 20, 15, down to the 13-yard line. Jonah Roberts, 1st and 10, Benedictine. Wow. C.J. Thomas, Lansing, Kansas native on the Clark team. An old Lion.
Games going on around the conference right now over in Fayette. Central Methodist comes away with a win 44-0 over Graceland. Baker up 30 on Peru State with 9:20 left in that ballgame. 8:14 left is Culver Stockton 49, Missouri Valley 14, and Grandview leading Mid-America 27-8.
Here's Laskowski, a little fake to the left side, cuts it up the edge, and at the 10, he's at the 5, and I'm going to say he stepped out of bounds at the 5-yard line. He lunges for the end zone, but will not get in. It is a second down, 1 at the 5. So is there a decent game, really?
No.
No.
The closest game in the conference is, what, that Grandview in America?
But it's not even halftime yet. Yeah. I mean, Grandview's going to open a big, big lead before it's over. They'll still win by 40. Second down and a yard at the 5-yard line. Benedictine. Jonah Roberts, the running back. Luke Laskowski, the quarterback. He's back. Throws a BB over the middle. What a throw and what a catch, Raven. Touchdown. Give it to Jacob Gathright.
Yeah, Jacob Gathright doing a great job running a slant pattern right there. A 5-yard touchdown reception. And for Luke Laskowski, his first passing touchdown of the season.
Okay, Luke got the last couple series, drove the team downfield right there. And you know what? He just makes Coach Osborne's job, you know, harder to pick the best quarterback, because that was a good drive. He's looked good out there today. And the PAT for Benedictine is up, and it's good, and we're going to take a break. Time out of the field at 9:39 to go in the game. It's Ravens 68, Clark Nevin.
Amberwell Health grew right here in Northeast Kansas when Atchison Hospital rebranded with a vision to connect their communities and their care. That vision continues with Hiawatha Community Hospital joining the Amberwell family as Amberwell Hiawatha. Amberwell Health now includes two complete care locations, Amberwell Atchison and Amberwell Hiawatha, and 5 clinic locations in Atchison, Horton, Highland, Leavenworth, and Troy. Together, Amberwell continues to serve their communities and their patients, combining knowledge, resources, and a dedication to provide clinical excellence and compassionate care. Taco John's has a new value menu. Their value-est menu brings in premium ingredients like bacon and guac without the premium price. With options starting at just $1, you won't find value like that anywhere else. Chicken Bacon Ranch Loaded Potato Olays, just $3. Chicken Bacon Guac Street Tacos, just $2. Chicken Snack Quesadillas, just $1. Find these deals and more and an open lobby at Taco John's in Atchison. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better.
Well, a kick is away by Benedictine, ending a few yards deep into the end zone, and a late penalty comes sailing from the referee's pocket, and we'll see what has him upset, because that was, an upset penalty.
Ball foul, personal foul, number 40 on the return team. Half the distance to the goal, first down.
So, a penalty against Clark after the play was concluded, and you know, right now, maybe for the Clark coaching staff, one of the things that's going to be important for them is just keep everybody calm down and just say, guys, let's just get out of here. Let's get on the bus. Let's start motoring back home again, huh?
Tony, come on the road. You're trailing by 68 with, 9:20 left in this thing. And didn't you got to jump on a bus and go about 6.5 hours back home?
It's a long ride. On a bus, maybe even worse. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I was going to say, you could be closer to 7 on a bus.
So, after the penalty is assessed, the ball is down 12-yard line. Clark will be deep in their end of the field at 9:39 to go, and they trail 68-0. Here comes the Pride offense. We'll see who Clark is going to have out there. Running the ball club, it will again be Malik Inabinet. He will turn, hand off, running back, cuts left side, puts his head down, and, well, there's just not a lot of room over there. Running the football is Sean Cesar. Not a big guy, 5'7", sophomore. But he's going to pick up about 3 on that carry. It is a second down 7 for the Pride. Most important thing, I think, right now is keeping the clock alive as we're approaching 9 minutes to go in the game. And penalty markers all over the place. I think that receiver was, 15, 18 yards downfield before the ball got snapped?
Offside.
He just...
59 of the defense with contact. 5 yard penalty.
Wow. So they're going to get the defensive player, but I really thought it had to be the receiver who was flying down the field, and Joel Mewis had already turned his back to the formation he was chasing. When it's all said and done, a 5 yard penalty will set up a second, and let's call it a yard.
In the film review tomorrow, there's going to be a lot of poking fun at that one, right? Second down and one. And Clark looks to the far side. Now, if I'm Clark, I tell you something else that I also do. Not only do I just want to keep all the oars going, I really want to get that goose egg off, don't I?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's one of those things that you look at. And again, it's one thing to lose by a lot, but it's one thing to lose by a lot and not score.
Here's a handoff into the middle. It's going to be good to the 25-yard line, and it's good for a Clark first and 10. That is their 11th first down of the game.
Lance McLaughlin, the inside linebacker, a sophomore out of Molino, Florida, by way of Northview High School and on the south.
We mentioned that last week Benedictine had under 300 yards of offense. Well, Clark has under 200 yards of offense here today. Here's a run into the middle. Oh, hit in the breadbasket and a tackle made at the line of scrimmage. There's no gain on that one. That was a sharp hit and... a very solid tackle.
Lance McLaughlin again in on the stop. And now the Ravens are going to bring Javi Bloomquist back in. He's a guy who started for the Ravens. But again, I think at this point of the ball game, you got to leave him out there because the chance for him to get some of these reps and get comfortable with this defense. Again, the freshman, they list him as a safety. He's playing more of that outside linebacker position today.
It is a second down, 10 called for Clark. 7.5 to play in the game. Clock is clicking. Here's a running back. Gets a lead block in front of him around the edge to the 30, and he dives forward. Looks like he's going to have a first down to the 36-yard line. Picking up the first and 10. A nice run around the right edge by Cesar. And
Joel,
Clark first down.
Yeah, Joel Mewis in on the stop right there for Benedictine.
Ravens continue to shuttle players in and out. That's Tyler Wilson, a senior outside linebacker, who's going to switch out of the ball game now. Looking at some of those Benedictine names out on the field, we will bring them to you as best we can. As some guys getting some very valuable playing time. First down. Hand off. They're going to be about the same play to the right side this time. Spangler is there. Grabs him at the waist and makes quick work of the tackle on the Clark running back, Sean Cesar.
So Gavin Spangler has been having a really good year, right?
Oh,
coming
absolutely.
Into today's game, he was the leading tackler for the team. Is it hard to believe that Gavin Spangler is only a sophomore?
Yes. But you know what? He's following in a strong heritage, stepping into that same spot that had a pretty strong defensive player play for the last 4 years or so. That's been a good place for BC to bring great athletes in. Second down and 7 at the 39. Brett Shepherdson played that spot for so long. Here's a run into the right side of the line, a gain of another 3 or so.
Garrett Pittman-Minnick in on the stop. Also, Gavin Spangler getting off the stack right there for the Ravens. It'll bring up a 3rd and 2 for Clark. And again, doing a nice job of using a little bit of this clock here.
Yeah, they're at their own 44-yard line. And would like to put together maybe a final possession of the game that takes a little time and ends up culminating with some points on the board, getting that 0 off of there. Third down and a pair. Hand off, running back, slides down, gets the 1st and 10 by a yard. They'll advance the sticks, and Clark will keep the drive alive at their own 47-yard line. 1st and 10. We've seen some nice runs out of Sean Cesar. 9 carries, 27 yards today. Clark has now rushed for 95 total team yards. It's a 1st and 10. The Pride. Everybody stands up, looks across the way. Head coach Miguel Rigaldo. Hand off to the outside, dodging the first tackler, but getting swallowed up at the line of scrimmage. There's going to be no gain on the play, but they stay in the field of play. It'll bring up a second down 10. Back into the game for Clark, we're going to see Garrett Egan, the original starting running back. I'm kind of surprised that he comes back in at this juncture of the game.
Right now, Clark setting just under 200 yards of total offense at 198. Benedictine at 539 yards of total offense today. For Benedictine, the best thing, two penalties for only 10 yards.
Second and 10. Clark at his own 47-yard line. QB will hand off running back. Here's Egan, cuts into the middle, and then turns his back downfield and backs down forward for a couple of more. He'll get five on that carry. It's a third down five. And Egan was only in for a brief moment as Clark is going to pull him back out and, again, going to bring Sean Cesar into the game. Third down in Raven territory. Third down five for Clark. Clock ticking along now with only 3.5 minutes to go. Little wing to the right side. Hand off running back, hits the middle, picks up room. He's at the 40. He's at the 35. Finally pulled down from behind. It's another Clark first down at the Raven 33. Nice run. And a tackle by Benedict's Joel Mewis, who actually came from behind to make that tackle. Just an explosive run through the line of scrimmage and advancing the chains. Clark moving to football. We're down now to 3 minutes to go. And the Pride with a shot at this. Benedictine, yes, they don't want to lose the shutout. Did you see Tyler Tierney came back in? First down. That's when you're serious about maintaining that goose egg. Here's the handoff in the middle, cutting to the center, getting down to the 30 and picking up three.
That time coming up, making this out for the Ravens. You're going to have, what is that, 96 in on the stop. Will Hurtado, a freshman out of Omaha's Westside High.
Sean Cesar has been the running back on this series, and he's done a splendid job. Now the Benedictine 31. Clark has still not really put this thing into full speed. 2:10 to go in the game. Hand off once more, same running back. He'll bounce right, and nothing doing for Cesar this time.
Javi Bloomquist, along with Lance McLaughlin, in on the stop right there for the Ravens, and we are now under 2 minutes left.
Crowd has thinned a little bit as the afternoon has worn on. It is warm outside. The outcome of this game is not in doubt, nor has it been in doubt since the opening quarter, frankly. And it's a big day for Ravens and Raven fans here on Stars and Stripes Day. Here's a straight-ahead handoff and a run that will net about five. It is fourth down for the Pride. Fourth down at about three at the Benedictine 27. No reason to do anything but leave the offense out there, is there?
A field goal doesn't help you right here, right?
So do you throw the ball?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that you go ahead and cut one loose right here. You're looking at a fourth and four. You're finally under a minute left in this thing. Yeah. They're at eight on the play clock. It's taking lots of time here. Five, four.
Here's the call. Fourth down. The home run pass into the corner is way too high and out of the reach of the intended receiver down at the 10-yard line. So here comes the Benedictine offense back on the field. I would expect the victory formation for, what, two snaps now with 42 seconds left? They're going to have to do it twice. First and 10, Benedictine. It has been a big afternoon for the Ravens. The Gus coming in here today. We'll talk about this a little bit more at the conclusion of the game, but coming in here today, the Benedictine Ravens needed a win like this. I mean, for a lot of reasons, and needing it and getting it are oftentimes two different things, but the Ravens delivered on the win, and that's going to do it. Your final score this afternoon, Benedictine 68, Clark nothing. We'll be back to summarize it right after this.
Stay tuned for the Benedictine Raven postgame wrap right after this.
Snap Fitness. Your affordable neighborhood club is open, and now is the time to schedule your tan. With three tanning beds and packages to fit your budget, it's the place to go. And new at Snap Fitness, Good Sense Meals. Need something fast and delicious for lunch or dinner? Stop in and check out all the options. No membership required to take advantage of tanning and meals. Call Snap Fitness at 913-367-1511 for more information on tanning, 24-hour gym memberships, or their new Good Sense Meals.
Lewis Chevrolet Buick is your trusted Buick Chevrolet dealership in Atchison and the reason why their loyal customers keep coming back. From the time you enter the showroom or the service center, you can expect to be treated like family each and every visit. We offer an extensive inventory, as well as our competitive lease specials, finance options, and expert auto service. Lewis Chevrolet Buick, dedicated to providing exceptional customer service and being an integral part to the Atchison community. See them at 314 Woodlawn at Lewis Chevrolet Buick in Atchison.
Good to have you back with us here at Wilcox Stadium on the Raven campus in Atchison, Kansas, where today Benedictine dominant in a win, a very one-sided win, 68-0. And, guys, for Clark, the growing pains continue. I kind of thought, you know, a very good coach from a very good program, you know, it takes a little bit of time, but I guess I just expected them to be maybe not have turned the corner yet, but I thought they would be getting more close to the corner, but they're not.
Yeah, I think for Clark, they just looked really overmatched today, right? Giving up 68 points, they couldn't get themselves on the board. They had lots of guys get banged up throughout this game, and I just feel like instead of closing that gap and starting to be competitive in this conference, I feel like at this point, they've maybe taken a half a step back last year with not having all those games with COVID and things. So they're going to start the year 0-4. I'm going to look into the crystal ball and tell you they're going to start the year 0-5 because next week at Dolezal Field, they're going to host Baker. So won't be a fun week next week either.
Man, for Benedictine, coach is going to look through the numbers. He talked about wanting to do better in the red zone. He was 8 of 9 touchdowns in the red zone today. He's going to be good with that. He's going to be good with, you know, 539 yards, 5 of 8 on third down, averaging 7.5 yards a play. He's just going to be good with all of that.
Yeah, 10 touchdowns on 13 possessions is not bad. 2 punts. And the one thing is, I keep going back to that second possession of the game where you fumbled at the 8-yard line is going to be his biggest problem of the day. And so it's kind of nice to have issues like that this week.
Congratulations to Coach Osborne and the Benedictine Ravens as BC gets to 500. They are now 2-2. Next week, we're with the Ravens in Lamoni, Iowa. Looking forward to bringing that one too. And, of course, Friday night, high school football on Care Radio. With that said, we want to thank you for having joined us here this afternoon. Again, your final score from Wilcox Stadium, Benedictine 68, Clark nothing. Until next time, for Joseph, producer, engineer in the Care Radio Sports Studio, he does the magic. We just have the fun up here. For Gus Couts, Tom Couts, so long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Benedictine Raven Football on your local sports authority, KAIR Radio 93.7 FM, and streaming on msCnews.net. Benedictine Raven football games are brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management.